All right, well, I'm very excited about this. Being able to talk about this topic is really, for me, very, it's kind of relieving, actually. Be
Really?
yeah, because I've got, this is a very, obviously very interesting topic, and a lot of guys, every guy I know wants to know how to do this, but for a long time I kind of held back on talking about this stuff because I didn't want guys to abuse it. So I feel comfortable now with this and releasing this information.
There is potential for abuse here, and I'm with you. I don't want to encourage that.
Yeah, I mean it's not going to happen with these guys listening to this right now, but I wouldn't release this to general public. So just to kind of get into what we are going to go about today, or we're going to talk about today, and what you're going to learn is we're going to go over. I have Cameron Huff here, who is an expert in personality typing, and we're going to go over something that you will never hear anywhere else but here, explained like this, and that you probably will never hear even tried to be explained anywhere else as well. And that is how to spot a girl, probably from a distance as well, but also when you're talking to her, that wants to have sex with you immediately. Like, so how to tell if you had a lineup of 15 girls, how to point out which ones would be the fastest to go to bed with you. Now, of course, like I was saying before, there is potential for abuse here, and that potential rely or sort of like lies in the idea that a guy, if a guy gets a hold of this who just wants to get laid and doesn't worry about hurting girls, doesn't care about it, then of course he can kind of leave a trail of the dead
Right,
behind him.
absolutely.
And that's not what we're going for. So before we get started on this, I want you to agree that you're listening, since you're listening to this right now. If you don't agree to what I'm about to say, then when you hear it, just turn this off and don't continue listening.
Please.
But if you do agree, then great. We'll just continue, and you'll get a lot out of this. But what I want you to agree to is to take in all this information, take really good notes during this product here that we're releasing. And as you listen to the concepts and you write down these ideas, I want you to use them, but I don't want you to think this replaces everything else. You focusing on your manhood, stepping into your manhood, also taking responsibility for who you are and using body language properly and all these different aspects as well. We'll go over exactly how to attract women very, very quickly and how to skip a lot of steps. But I also want you to sort of proclaim and make a sort of like make a pact with me to take this seriously and to the best of your ability, only sleep with women that you know are going to be better having slept with you, meaning that the general idea here is leave her better than you found her. And you want to do that. You have to leave her better than you found her. So don't sleep with her. Don't just use this kind of, like crazy, or, don't use this like salt in the condiment closet. Like, don't do that. Use it sparingly, but whenever you do use it, you'll notice that it works really, really, really well. And the better you get at it, the more you're going to want to use it all the time. So just do it as much as you'd like to, but make sure that you make a conscious decision to use it and you're not just kind of doing it as a default. So if you can agree to that, and you want to know what's going on and want to know these secrets, there are seven major secrets to spotting and approaching and attracting a woman who will sleep with you within a matter of, literally within a matter of minutes in some cases, and with other women, certain types, within a matter of, a couple hours, and some, at the very, very longest it could take is a couple of days. So we're going to go over that. Rapid seduction is what we're going to cover. And it's got my spin on it as always, which is not typical, where we bring in as much psychology as possible. That's why I brought Cameron here, who is an expert in these areas of recognizing personality typing. And we sort of combined our powers to be able to explain to you in a way that makes sense and that doesn't just seem like hocus pocus. So we're going to go over everything. You're going to know exactly why it is that certain girls are more likely to sleep with you on the first date or that first night that you meet them, and how to spot those women and what to do in response to that. That'll allow you to kind of step forward and use this with really like a large amount of confidence.
Absolutely, and I want to kind of echo what you just said there. There is potential for abuse with this tool. It really works. It's really powerful. But if it's the only tool that you've got, it's not going to produce what you want in the long term. It's a great tool, but it needs to be backed up by lifestyle. It needs to be backed up by improving who you are as a person, being as you said, becoming a man,
right,
and so on. And if you don't have those elements, then this is going to be very short-lived and it's not going to help very much. If you do have those other elements, though, then this is going to be incredibly powerful for you, and it's going to open up a whole world of possibilities.
Right. Not that that would stop anybody, to be honest. but no big deal. Listen to it, try it out, and see how much you like it. And, I think that's enough of the disclaimer for now, but that's really what I wanted to say. So, Cameron, I'd like first off to thank you for being here. So I really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
And I'd also like to kind of get your perspective of the overview of these seven major secrets, or you called them factors, or quick lay factors is what you called them. Mm-hmm. So like a quick lay meaning getting laid fast, right? That's like a quick way of saying getting laid fast, right? So quick lay factors, there are seven of them, and we're going to go over one. There's one major one, and the other six are, I'd probably say 50% is left in one of these factors, and the other 50% is spread across the rest of the factors.
Should we go over the seven factors real briefly just to kind of keep a preview?
Why don't you go ahead and do that first? Okay.
So basically, these are the elements that come together to inform whether or not a girl's going to be willing to sleep with you quickly or whether it's going to take a long time. And some of these factors are easy to influence, and they're leverage points. Some of them are more beyond your control, and there's not a whole lot you can do there aside from be aware of them.
Before you continue, actually, I just realized I need to interject something. One of the reasons why this is so important to be able to recognize a girl that is this open to having sex quickly with you is because about 90% of the secret to success of some of the guys who are really amazing is honestly just having the right eyes to see what kind of girl you're dealing with.
Totally. It's kind of like poker. Mm-hmm. If you've read Tony Hsieh's book, Delivering Happiness, he talks about getting into poker and kind of using that as a leverage point for business, and someone uses a metaphor. Mm-hmm. And he says that the most important factor at winning at poker is choosing which game you're going to play, as in which table you're going to sit down at, which mm-hmm. other people you're going to play with. So it's all about pre-selection. There's lots of other things that are really important too, but that really is the make or break. Mm-hmm. If you do not have your pre-selection handled, then it doesn't matter how good you are if you're playing with players that are more skilled than you are.
Right.
So similar to this, the pre-selection in terms of what girl you're going to approach, what girl you're going to try to interact with, that's going to be a huge leverage point. And if you ignore that, then your success rate's going to drop like crazy.
Yeah, and as you're out, let's say that you're out just chatting with lots and lots of girls, you'll, as you learn these different seven factors, you're going to start to notice them in the girls that you're talking to. So you may see her from far, you may see her from across the room and notice as she exhibits some of the behaviors we're going to talk about here today, and then go and approach her directly, or you may just be talking to a bunch of random girls, and then all of a sudden, you get a flag pops up and you realize this is one of those girls.
Right.
So you can make a decision from there to talk to her directly if that's what you want, or and you'll approach it directly. And a lot of the girls that we're going to talk about today are if you do not approach them in the way that we tell you, you'll actually move too slow for them. And that is a sort of outside of the reality for a lot of guys. They think that, we want to move really fast and women always want to pace it and go slower. But if you try to wing this, then you'll actually not go fast enough for some of these girls, and you'll ruin it that way. So,
absolutely.
So anyway, go ahead and jump into that. I just wanted to interject that you need to be able to have those eyes to be able to see that kind of what kind of girl you're dealing with. And again, that is a very large majority of the ability to be really good with women is sort of focused around this idea that you can see who it is that you're talking to.
Absolutely. So here are the seven factors, and we're going to go into each of these in depth. The first one is personality type. Now, this might come as a revelation to some people, but you are not the same as everyone else in the world. Everyone's different. Mm-hmm. And this is true on a really fundamental, profound level. You do not see the world the same way as the people around you do. Everyone has their own unique take. Everyone is an individual. However, these individual traits and preferences fall into categories, and by understanding the categories, by understanding the different kind of types that people fall into, you can have a shortcut into knowing what they're like and what they want to hear, what they are into, what they need, and so on.
All right, this kind of looks like When you know what to look for, you see these traits very quickly. And if you just know what traits mean certain things, for example, if everybody who wore the color red was allergic to mushrooms,
Right.
right? And you were a server at a restaurant and you saw a table full of people wearing red. You may at that point go, "Hey, is anyone here allergic to mushrooms?" And they may raise their hand and think that you're magical,
It,
you know.
absolutely.
And but you know the connection. For some reason, you know that connection. And that's the connection we're going to talk about today, is how to see those things that underlie everything that no one else can even see. Not even them. They can't even see them either. And you're going to peek into their brains in a way that they are not going to be able to control, and in a way that no one else has ever done.
Absolutely. So personality type is a huge leverage point in your interaction with women, and actually your interaction with everybody in your life. We're not going to go into that right now, but it's a really powerful tool. So the next thing we're going to talk about is state. Different people are open to different experiences depending on the state that they are in. And state basically means, mood, where you're at in the day, that kind of thing. That's generally pretty obvious. The next is values and beliefs. So this has a lot to do with what a person thinks is important, what they believe makes them a good person or a bad person, and so on.
That's crucial, because if someone has a lot of values or beliefs focused around social acceptance, and they're with a group of their friends, and you try to pull them to the bathroom to, basically to fuck them in the bathroom, and their friends see it, they're not going to let it happen. You know,
Yeah.
that's
Not a
a. And
chance.
if you see that ahead of time, you're going to know that you're going to have to be discreet or pull them off to the side first and kind of disappear from the crowd before they're going to feel comfortable hooking up with you.
Absolutely, and certain personality types are more dramatically influenced by public opinion or the opinion of their social group than others. Some types really don't care. Other types, it's the world to them. So these two factors really play into each other. The next one is circumstances. Circumstances are largely beyond your control. It helps to be aware of them, but there's not a whole lot you can do about it. An example of a circumstance is like a prior commitment appointment, like she's got to get on a plane in an hour, so there's really no time. That's a circumstance, and there's not much you can do about it.
Right. Circumstances also tie into the next factor pretty closely as well. Circumstances can lead to this next one, right?
Absolutely. The next one is logistics. This is something that you absolutely can influence, but it won't produce success on its own. It's something that can prevent success, but it won't produce it. So an example of logistics are, do you have condoms on you? Do you have a, back seat of a Camaro that you can go hook up in or whatever the case might be?
Preferably not a convertible in this case.
Preferably not a convertible. Unless
In
definitely
which case,
possible.
which we'll talk about.
The next factor is you, which obviously is a huge one. Your persona, your inner game, your outer game, who you are, what you look like, your confidence level, and so on.
Funny enough, though, it's not the biggest factor. The biggest factor by far in this case is type. We'll get to that in a bit.
Absolutely. And the last one, the final of the seven
Final
factors,
countdown.
is the frame. And the frame is basically the story or the fantasy that you are living out right in that moment.
Not just you, the both of you, right?
Absolutely.
Together.
Yeah.
The plural you.
The plural you. So, if, just as an example, if you're the quarterback of the football team, then the head of the cheerleading squad is probably going to be way more open to sleeping with you right after you won the big game than in other circumstances.
Right after you lost the big game.
Right. So this
Right.
is just an example of frame, but as you can see, frame is going to be another leverage point.
Right. Well, that's a great example, because I know that for me personally, there's no way I would ever relate to that one. I'm pretty sure nobody on this call would either, or on this interview has been the quarterback of the football team. But I can say, though,
I definitely wasn't.
yeah, exactly. Neither of us were. But I can say that another example to that, to kind of speak to that, is that let's say that the frame that they have for the day is that, let's say that you have a bad day. And there are guys that have bad days. Like, we have all had bad days. If you've ever gone out in an evening and you look exactly the same as you did the night before you had a great night. It was just everything went really well. It was all easy to do. And it was like everything was just kind of working in your favor. Girls were smiling at you and people were liking you a lot. And then the next day, You do the same thing. You go out, only everything sucks and nobody likes you. It's because your frame has changed. So whenever you talk to a girl, you can, there's a, what's called a frame battle. We'll talk about this in a bit. And the frame battle is between you and them. You're trying to figure out whose reality you're going to live in when you're talking. So if your frame is more powerful and better, and better option than her current frame, you can beat her out on this and she'll join you. But if that's not the case, then she'll lead the sort of frame conversation, and then you have to step into her world. And as soon as you do that, you lose 90% of the power or ability to control your situation, in which case you're kind of a helpless victim at that point. We don't want that.
Absolutely, and the cool thing about frames is that they can be governed by real events, as in the cheerleader captain football team example, or they can be constructed, as in you're just this cool guy that you just happened to meet and got caught up in the moment and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's a really great example of this in a course that I teach on body language, and I talk a little bit about it in a section called Psychological Space. And it's where I talk about how we put on different hats, right, for different jobs, different roles that we play. And one of those most beneficial hats that you can wear for success with women really quickly is the I am not from here hat, because it allows you to get away with whatever you want because you're not from there, right? Especially if you're in a country that you're not, you're not really part of that country. So I've tested this out, and I would actually pretend like I was from Italy or something, and I'd go out and speak with an accent. And of course, in the South where I was, nobody knew the difference. So I'm from the South, so I guess I can say that, but nobody knew the difference. And so, people were like, "Oh my God, where are you from?" And blah, blah, blah. And I noticed that I got a lot more attention whenever I did it. And then I changed and got rid of the accent and kept the body language, and it still worked. So that's when I really understood how to control frame. But
Interesting.
we'll talk about that later on. So those are the seven different sort of secret factors to quick lays. So seven quick lay factors. And we're going to go over each one individually now. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time on what we believe is the most important factor for you. And you'll need to take a lot of notes during this process. So I hope you have at least six extra pages of empty notebook paper for this. If you don't, then I'd pause this and go find that and come back.
Right, your yeah, notes help everything.
Dot com.
Dot com. So the first factor we're going to talk about is personality type. This factor is a rapid shortcut to knowing who you're dealing with. Because as we mentioned, everyone is absolutely unique and an individual, but those individuals definitely fall into certain categories. And the categories give you an amazing amount of information. So you'll have a shortcut to know who you're dealing with, what she's looking for, what she's open to, what she's likely to respond to, and also what she's going to be like in the long run. As in, if it contends, extends beyond one night, what she's going to be like to deal with. So there's a handful of elements that are involved in personality type related to this topic, and basically, some types are just more open to new experience, more open to sex, more open to forming social ties than other types are. Different techniques work better on some types than others. I'm sure you've had the experience of trying something out with one girl and having it completely bomb, and doing the exact same thing with someone else and having it work ridiculously well. So there's lots of elements that could influence that scenario, but personality type is probably one of the largest. Not probably, it is. And as you mentioned, the state that a person is in, their mood, their outlook at that moment or whatever, that's going to have a huge impact as well. And some types are more prone to certain states than others are. And also, different states have different meanings for certain types. One type might be open to sex in a certain state, and a different type in the exact same state wouldn't be open. So they're just influenced by different things. So we're going to break all that down.
It may sound a little complicated right now, but when we get into the content, I think you're going to find this is very easy to spot and see. And you'll understand, we're going to give you a lot of examples so that you know what to look for. And probably more important than anything is that you're going to have the ability after this to walk into a room, see these girls almost like they're highlighted with different colors, like a red, a green, a blue one, a yellow one, that kind of thing. And you're going to be able to see these different girls from across the room or while you're talking to them. And as soon as it clicks, you can then shift the way you're interacting so that it appeals perfectly, almost like laser targeted to that girl. And it's just phenomenal how much this helps, you know, and how much this will actually
Totally.
make women really just feel like they've known you for 30 years. Some girls feel like they need that, and you need to be that guy, right? But if there's a girl who you notice, you see a couple things, you notice that doesn't want something that feels stale like that, then you know to switch that off and not build too much rapport with her, that kind of thing. And, you know, like I said, we're going to go over a lot of examples for this, so definitely pay attention to that. But I want to let you know that, I mean, it sounds like it's a lot of stuff, but it's really not that bad. So we'll go into these different types, and you'll get it pretty quick. You'll be able to use it tonight. So make sure you, like I said, pay close attention.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. The types that are most open to having sex quickly, they're the ones that need the least rapport built. Kind of makes sense. So if you spend too much time developing rapport, you're actually going to kill it. So personality type is a deep topic. There's lots of complexity. There's lots of ways to break it down. What we've done is we've kind of simplified this into four main groups of human beings. Obviously, we're talking about women specifically, but four groups of people. So this is.
Why don't we go over the four generally and then we'll dive into each one?
Sounds good.
So we'll go over the names of each one's first.
So I'm going to go through this in order of their spontaneity or openness to new experience, openness to sleeping with you quickly.
Right, so at the top it'll be the people who are fastest.
Exactly.
And then as we get lower, it'll be less likely.
So number one, the type that is most likely to sleep with you fast are what we call performers. These are people that are very in touch with their body, very in touch with the physical world. The next type is what we call explorers. Explorers on the surface look kind of similar to performers, but they have a less tangible approach to the world. They're more conceptual and they're a little more kind of airy-fairy. They're into, like energy and, things like that.
Crap like that.
Exactly.
That's the kind of first off, so far, just so we're clear, those first two types are drastically different in that the first one's not, if you go up and you start talking about astrology or something, it's not really going to work on the performer so well. On the but if you continue and you go to the explorer, it will work a lot better.
Yeah, explorers be totally into it. Performers would be into that briefly, and if you don't move on to a different topic soon, then you're going to lose them. The third type is what we call oracles, and these are kind of hit and miss. They could be really open or they could be really conservative, and it's going to be difficult to tell just by looking at them.
It depends on state.
It depends on their state and it depends on their background. They're actually quite rare, though. They're only about 6.5% of the female population, so you're not going to run into a whole lot of oracles. But if you do, it's important to know how to approach them and to also be aware that they could be completely open or they could be completely not. And
We're gonna have to tell you how to spot that and tell.
exactly.
Also, you should note here that these are all based on concepts that we've studied and Cameron has studied for a long time in Jungian theory, as in Carl Jung from psychology. He's a very amazing psychologist. And we're basing this, which is why Cameron knows that it's 6.5%. Otherwise, it sounds like you're kind of making that up, but you're not.
Oh no, I'm going to give you percentages for all of this, and it's very specific. This is not
These have been proven.
theory. This is not made up. There's hard data to support all of this.
Right.
So the final category, this is the least likely to be open. They're what we call the traditionalists, and this is also the most common type. This is a full 50% of the female population.
Right, okay.
So in pre-selection, these are the ones that you actually want to steer away from if you want to get laid quickly. But you're going to run into more of them than any other type.
However, yeah, we can tell we are going to tell you how to
They
get
do have
them
leverage points.
right. How to bypass that sort of like a hacker and get to the exact part that you want to get to or get them in the right frame of mind to where they are comfortable with that. So that way, once you know that one, you've got sort of a free pass. You've got a golden ticket. So we'll talk about that last, but let's go into the easier sort of types first.
Absolutely. So performers, as we mentioned, are really in tune with the physical world. They're in touch with their body. They focus on the sensory impressions that are coming at them in the moment. They're very, very focused on the here and now, what's happening in this second.
And it's hard to see that they are focused on the here and now, because they're not like, when I think of here and now, I'm thinking like kind of spiritual, like, oh, you know, be here, be now, be open to the new world. That's not really what we mean. What we really mean is that they're in their bodies. Like, if you were to take your hand and very gently run it up the side of a girl's arm, a performer would feel it 10 times more than the traditionalist would, you know?
Absolutely. They are focused. They kind of live in the world of their body sensations. Most athletes are performers. Most musicians are performers. Most people that, you know, go into professions that involve a lot of physical skill, craftspeople and so on, they're generally all performers.
Right. They don't need to actually be performing in front of a group of people in order to be a performer. And so, you know,
exactly.
You can make certain assumptions when, once you do see that a girl is a performer, you can actually say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love being in front of people, having them all look at you as you do something that you're really good at, you know, and more likely they're going to just go bonkers over that.
Totally. Well, we called them performers because even though not all, you know, most of them don't have a profession that involves performance, mm-hmm. all of them kind of like it.
Right.
They like being the center of attention at least a little bit. They more than that, though, they love showing off their skills.
Right.
They love developing and displaying physical skills. So they also tend to be some of the most fun in bed.
Right. And one of the greatest leverage points for a performer is that if you, depending on which skill you think is more valuable to you, they will change how they show that skill to you, how they perform to you. For example, if you say, "Oh, I'm really attracted to girls that are, let's say, really good at patty cake." I don't know why you'd ever say that in a million years. Don't do that. But let's say that you did, right?
I kind of want to try that now.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So they would go, "Okay, patty cake. How do I show this guy that I'm really good at patty cake?" Right. That's what they'll start thinking to do, kind of without even thinking about it. It's more competitive for them. They'll want to be. They want to be that person in your mind that is the best at this thing, or that you think about whenever you think about patty cake. Or whatever,
they're competitive,
right? They're very competitive. So whenever you do this, you can actually qualify them in a way, which we'll get into maybe later. We didn't write that in. It's something we're going to cover, but you can qualify them away in a way that allows for you to pre-frame them to try to compete for your attention and attraction. And this will make your job very, very, very easy. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Performers are 25% of the female population. The numbers change when you change genders, but we're talking about women here, obviously. So for the female population, 25%.
Right.
They're hands down the most spontaneous. They're the most open to changing plans on a second's notice. Mm-hmm. They crave excitement. They crave thrills. Mm-hmm. They love adrenaline.
Okay.
Anything that involves intense experiences with their body, with the physical world, they're generally into it.
Right.
Now, obviously, they're going to be more gravitating towards pleasant experiences than unpleasant ones, but you know, if you've had those experiences, like you're snowboarding or whatever, you're just kind of like in the moment, you're just completely there. That's what they crave.
You know, the one thing I would like to cover maybe next after this little tiny section here is how to spot these girls. I know you're going to go into a few of these things, but more of like how to spot them from a distance, but also how to listen to what they're talking about to tell that they are this kind of person, how to ask the right kinds of questions, you know, some examples that you can ask, across any types to figure out what they are. We've got an acronym that we use to remember the different types, and we'll get to that in just a minute.
Right. So, I think let's mention it
okay,
now.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So the four types: performers, explorers, oracles, and traditionalists. That spells poet.
Poet.
Which is probably not the most appropriate acronym for...
That's totally fine.
Getting laid quickly, but...
Hey, you know, that's,
it's memorable,
that makes sense,
right?
In my mind. I'm thinking of like a poet standing there with his little French hat on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just wooing the women.
So, back to performers. As I mentioned, they're very into their body. They love to show off their skills. They crave fun and excitement. They love to play. They approach anything they possibly can in terms of play. So, obviously, that's something that would be very helpful to show them. They want fun and excitement, and they are very aware of and attracted to confidence and power. Now, another thing about performers that you would not know right off the bat is that since they are so in tune with their own bodies, they know what it means if they're moving in a certain way, they know what it means if they're holding their posture in a certain way and so on, just because they are aware of what their body's doing, that they get very good unconsciously at reading other people's body language. Hands down, out of all the types, these people are the best at reading body language. So if your body language is not in order, that is going to be a problem.
Right. So if you haven't sort of gotten that in touch or in touch with that yet, if you do have the Tao of Badass, check that out. And I have a whole section on body language there. If you don't and you want to read up on it, there's a book called What Every Body is Saying. That's a really great book for this. And then also reading up on, if you want to learn how to read other people, which I wouldn't suggest you do yet, but let's say that you want to take a step further, you could go straight into some of Paul Ekman's stuff about facial micro expressions as well to be able to read them too. But I've found personally that this is, this is though smaller than the average amount, like the 50% that are traditionalists, that's a smaller group. These are the ones that every guy wants because they're always kind of strutting around with everyone looking at them. And so with because of that, if your body language is wrong, all the girls in the bar that you or in the environment, wherever you are, not even bar, but anywhere, that you really want, that every other guy wants, is, they're not going to respond to you. You're going to get a lot of other girls kind of interested in you, but you're not going to get these girls interested in you.
And yeah, you're absolutely right. These are generally the ones that every guy kind of wants. Again, they're so physical, they're in their body. They know how to be sexy, usually. Almost all, like the vast majority of porn stars, strippers, cheerleaders, anyone in a field like that, vast majority are performers.
Okay. So let's go into how to spot these girls.
So that comes down to basically what's a person going to be like if they're living in the world of their physical body. So they tend to be into sports. That's really common. They might not play sports, they may or may not, but they tend to kind of appreciate the concept. They tend to be kind of interested and into it at least a little bit. They're often a little tomboyish. They like to play around and kind of get dirty. They aren't really the type that likes to be put on a pedestal and just, kind of removed from everything and
Yeah,
not
they're not princesses.
exactly.
Right.
They're playful. They like to mess things up.
Right. Another thing I funny that you use tomboyish as your explanation for this because I found this was kind of like my secret for a long time actually, is that I found that whenever I talked to girls that were a little bit tomboyish, meaning that it's really subtle. I mean, usually when you see it in these kind of girls, it's very subtle. It's not like they're walking around, wearing combat boots or anything like that. It's more like when they were little, they were tomboys, and then they grew older and they realized they have this sexual power. So all their focus went from being a tomboy and trying to be tough to getting men to do whatever they want, right? And this is the major shift in focus. So they've become very, very sexually feminine and powerful of what they do. And but you don't know this, no one knows this, but if you can walk up to them and trace that back to being a tomboy, they all of a sudden feel like they've been made, like they've been found out, and they lose all their power, right? So this is something, one of the quickest ways I've ever found to bypass all the rest of the guys, like to stand out way more than any other guy's ever talked to her, and to sort of like, shoot straight to the part of her brain that makes her lose control, is to call out the fact that she was a tomboy when she was younger. Just to ask, hey, does anyone else know that you used to be a tomboy? I've said this to girls on several occasions, and most of the time with very, very, very attractive women, they are. They used to be tomboys. And no one can see this, especially if they've done a lot of work to make themselves look really feminine. So you can basically look at these girls, the ones that are that want a bunch of attention, and you can guess, just straight up guess, and say, I have a question for you. You may think this is a little bit strange, and I like it, but I'm not sure if anyone else does. But I get the impression that maybe when you were younger, you were a little bit of a tomboy, and where you're not really as much of a tomboy now, I kind of see that part of you, you know?
Right.
And it's really interesting. So she'll feel like, holy crap, the thing I've been trying to hide my entire life from guys, this guy called out immediately and he likes it. So this is really important, right? So now she's going to let go of a lot of the power.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, that's my preference too. I'm kind of into it. But there's a lot of insecurity there. And this is something that they often feel the need to hide. If you bring it up, they're usually a little embarrassed, but they're, you know, like that you are cool with it.
If you're cool with it, you need to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not cool with it, then don't bring it up. But if you are, and you say, did you used to be a tomboy? And you kind of do like the bantery thing, like make it seem like you're judging them. That could backfire in this case.
Right.
They could actually feel like they've been found out and that you don't like it. So if you're going to go straight for the throat on this, then make sure that you let them know that you like that sort of thing. Like, oh, I actually find it attractive. I'm not sure if anyone else does. And that's another classic line of mine. I'm not sure how many other guys agree with me or not, right? Because all of a sudden now I'm like one of very few, you know, and I'm a dude, right? So I'm like, oh no, I don't know. A lot of my friends don't like that, but I really like it. Right? Yeah. Now all of a sudden you have very few options as a woman.
Well, here's the thing about performers. Since traditionalists are such a massive percent of the population, that kind of controls what most people think women should be like.
Right.
Most people think women should be like traditionalists. So women grew up with that belief too.
Right.
So if you're talking to a performer, she probably grew up believing she should be like a traditionalist more. So she's a little insecure about that.
And probably a little bit resentful.
Absolutely.
About that too.
So traditionalists, we'll get to them later, they're the ones that have that princess vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're totally into. So if you do not get the princess vibe, then there's a good chance you're not talking to a traditionalist.
Right, exactly. Unless she's faking it, but that'll be very rare. And you can usually tell, too.
It's socially accepted.
Right.
So they generally don't fake it because they have no need to.
Oh, I mean, the performer's faking it really well, which they can do, but I doubt it because that would put them in a place where they're just like everybody else and they wouldn't be performing.
Well, that's another thing about performers. It's very important for them to be true to who they are. Now, they might not be real good at that. They might be kind of fake, and that's entirely possible. But if you call them out on something like that, it's against their values. To them, it is important for them to be individual. So they would not be comfortable with the idea that they're faking things super well.
Right. And in this case, if you see her, for example, I'll give you some really classic examples of being able to tell if a girl's a tomboy or not. Really, really easy to see. Probably the easiest thing to see, actually. One is that almost across the board, a girl who's a tomboy will bring her elbows more than 4 inches away from her body when she moves her arms around. Girls who aren't tomboys have a hard time doing this. They try to take up less space. But a girl who used to be a tomboy will accidentally bring her elbows away from her body a little bit more than typical girls do. Another thing that a girl who's the performer will do is stand with her feet. Every once in a while, will stand with her feet a little bit farther apart than the rest of the girls will, right? So, like, maybe about shoulder width, which is way far apart for a girl, right? For a guy, it's totally normal, but you may notice this, and you'll only see this when they lose control because they're laughing or because they're really into a story or they just kind of lose their focus that they need to be faking something. So if you can get her into something funny or a story or something and she kind of loses that control for a second, you'll be able to see all these qualities. Or if she's talking to someone else, and it's the same thing. Girls who are dancing are in control, right? So these girls dance a lot too. So if you...
Oh, yeah.
If you
love
are,
to dance, pretty much universally.
Yeah, and if you are, well, most girls do too, you know.
Right.
But if you're seeing these girls dancing, it's not. You're going to be in their element at that point, you know.
Right.
They're basically controlling everything that you see. You have to catch them off guard when they're not like sitting there focusing on trying to fit in or trying to look like everybody else or whatever it is, trying to not seem like a tomboy. Another thing that you might notice is that they'll furrow their brow more, meaning. They kind of make it look like they're a little bit confused or concerned about something in their eyebrows, like around their eyes. And they may like look like they're scrutinizing something. They'll also cross their arms more because of showing more defensive body language. These are all things that performers will do whenever you catch them off guard. Now, if they don't know that you're watching and they're talking to somebody they're comfortable with, they may do this automatically. And you may be able to see immediately. And if you walk up, and as you walk up, they see you and they change your body language, that's a great sign. That means that they're trying to appeal to another part of you that they don't want you to see the deep part that they just showed somebody else. But it's obvious if you know what you're looking for.
Totally. And a lot of those observations, really great observations, come down to the fact that they're so in their body.
Right.
They place their feet wider apart because they want to have that freedom of movement. They want to have the freedom to respond to any physical, you know, experience or challenge that pops up.
Right.
They want to be primed for action.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to have really fluid movements, and they tend to dress with kind of a sense of flair. They tend to go pretty casual, actually, in most circumstances. But they also tend to dress in a way that does not restrict their freedom of physical movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because to them, they're living in the world of their body. If they're restricted there, if their hands are tied, so to speak, then they can't operate in their element, and that's really disconcerting.
Another thing that you might notice, though, is that these girls get really, really good at walking on heels.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Because they have
that's
to.
That's a physical skill.
Right. They have to be better at it. So a lot of them wear heels. So when you talk about restrictive clothing, one thing that you may notice, though, is that they do it anyway. They don't feel like it, but they'll look kind of like, sometimes they'll look like baby giraffes in what they do. You know?
Absolutely. It depends on the context. Like,
right.
If they're going out to a club, they're probably going to go all out.
Right.
If you see one on the street, then she's probably going to be pretty comfortable. She's
right.
going to have her freedom of movement. She's not going to be wearing heels there.
Right. A lot of them will wear baseball caps. Like, just little things like that you wouldn't expect them to do.
Baseball cap and Converse, totally.
Right. Okay.
Another thing is they tend to focus on the surface. I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
I mean that in a derogatory way.
They're picking up so much sensory information at all times. They're way more aware of, like we mentioned, body language, posture, movement, texture, you know, clothing, all this stuff they're picking up, color, smell, taste. So that's overwhelming. That's just an insane amount of information. So they focus on the surface. They tend to not go too deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the world they live in. They pick up a ton of information. It's not like they're getting less. It's just they're focusing on a different thing than some of the rest of us are.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to not go super deep. Kind of as an offset of that, and again, don't take this the wrong way, but they tend to have kind of a slightly blank or vacant look in their eyes. And this has to do with their neurology, their mental state. People of this type, performers, have a characteristic mental pattern which will show up on an electroencephalograph brain scan. And I won't go into the detail, but basically it is low brain activity, which is specifically designed to have the fastest response time to any physical stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
That pattern of neural activity tends to produce a kind of a slightly defocused, vacant look in a person's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this is not a negative thing necessarily. It's just a sign that you're talking to a performer.
Right. And one thing you may want to be aware of, though, is that if you realize you're talking to a performer and you start to see this vacant look, last thing you want to do is try to convince them to listen to your story about something.
No, you want to give them a physical stimulus.
Yeah, you want to take them and dance with them or twirl them around or something. Walk somewhere, high-five them, anything.
And they will love that. They are primed and waiting for some physical input. They love it. And if they don't get it, they're just bored silly. So if you see that look, that means that's what they really want more than anything else in that moment.
Right. And if you do, if you're talking to a girl, and any girl in this for this matter, whether you've noticed her type or not, you know she's a performer or not, if you're talking to her and she starts to have that vacant look, I found that the best way to reset everything is just to take her hand out of nowhere, take her hand, stand up, spin her around, and then walk somewhere, dance for a little bit or whatever, or like, you know, laugh and, you know, do something kind of silly, like dance in public in a place where it's like, you know, not you know, everyone's looking or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
Everyone is looking, not that everyone's not.
Let her be your performer.
Basically,
let her have the attention for a minute.
Yeah, exactly. And then just make yourself a catalyst for that. Make it happen. And she'll love you for that. And it's one of the biggest things I've noticed is that, and before I knew about type, was that I'd be like, shit, this girl's really not just, she's just, I'm losing her.
Right.
You know, you're not feeling? Like, I'm losing this girl. I'm talking to her, and I'm just watching the attraction just drain out of her head. Like, it's just like a little meter. Just
someone
pulled
the
down.
Plug,
yeah.
And it's
going dead.
Yeah.
Right? And so in that moment, as soon as you notice that, assume that you're talking to a performer and know that you're like literally 20 minutes away from being in bed with her if you do what you're doing right. Do what you're going to do next right, you know? And that is get her in her body. Like, do something physical that you can do, and she'll just be stoked about it. One of the best ways to do that is to stick out your hand. She'll put her hand in yours. She will, don't worry. And then you spin her around in circles as you're twirling her. And then we used to call this the washing machine, because it doesn't matter what face she's making when she starts to spin around, by the time she's done spinning, she's always smiling. Like,
Definitely.
it doesn't matter. It's a phenomenal technique. So go ahead.
So yeah, I mean, these are the most spontaneous, the most open people, but what comes packaged with that spontaneity is a short attention span. So they're going to get bored quickly and easily. So
Right.
if you don't keep their attention, then game over.
A lot of guys do this wrong too, so you can very easily keep all the focus on stuff that's really fun and new and exciting and a little bit outside your comfort zone with her, and she'll feel like no guy does this but you. So a lot of these girls will end up being great lovers, long term especially, because they get super excited by the fact that you are able to kind of keep them interested in the first place, and there's so few guys that do that properly that you stand out.
Absolutely. So, you want to avoid talk of conceptual, metaphorical stuff. They're just really not that into it. They're really into the tangible world. Now, they're slightly attracted to that kind of thing, but it needs to be hinted at. Make it like maximum 5% of your conversation, and do not stay there because you will lose them. So, they're focused on the present moment. They're really adept at immediate short-term thinking. They have the fastest response time of any type, so they tend to be great in a crisis. But you don't want to get too abstract. You don't want to
Hopefully,
get too.
you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Hi, it's nice to meet you. By the way, my friend needs a tracheotomy, so you could just make that happen real quick. That'd be great.
It is crazy, though. There's a friend of mine that's a UCLA professor who spent about 5 years hooking people up to an electroencephalograph brain scan machine and watching what they did in various circumstances. And performers actually go into a state of creative flow when they're in a crisis, which is the only type that does that.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a real thing. Now, one thing actually I should mention about performers is that they often have a little bit of insecurity or kind of resentment around their intelligence. Again, we were talking about these people. It kind of makes sense. They generally don't do super well in school because they just get bored. There's no physical stimulation. It is not that they're stupid. They're generally actually fairly sharp and especially really adept at their chosen skill set. But they did not get that feedback in school. The feedback they got in school is, you can't pass this test, that means you're dumb.
These girls feel like airheads a lot.
Right. So they can kind of just go into that and act airheady, or they can kind of have some resentment there. It really depends on the person. But that's going to be a little bit of a sore spot, almost guaranteed.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why I typically stay away from jokes about like girls being stupid and for whatever reason.
Right.
Even if it's just a joke and it's obviously a joke, or they're really, really smart and it's obviously you're just kidding around, to you it's obvious. A lot of them don't have that security around it. They were called stupid for whatever reason. And because of that, they have a lot of insecurity. So I'd rule out that altogether as banter. I don't ever banter about intelligence.
I definitely agree.
Don't ever banter about weight. If a girl's really skinny, don't ever say, "Oh, you gained a couple pounds there," as a joke, you know? Doesn't matter. It's not about reality. It's about their perception of reality.
Right. For
And
all you know, she's bulimic and she's going to spend the next 5 hours trying to make herself vomit in the bathroom thanks to your little comment.
right, exactly. And
You
then
know?
she'll associate that with you, which is not very pretty.
Right.
So, a couple of ways to spot these girls, just again, just to kind of reiterate, because I know we talked a little bit about that, but I want to make it very clear what you're looking for here. You're looking for girls who stand out, first off, so they'll be easy to find, most likely.
They are not really bound by what's traditionally accepted as, you know, good or proper or anything like that. So they are a little nonconformist. They're a little have kind of a sense of flair, and it's important for them to be individuals. So they're going to have some sort of individual style, individual touch to their appearance.
Right, and that could mean that if you're walking around at a place where you're supposed to be dressed up really nicely, they're probably going to be one of the best dressed. And a situation where people are just trying to be, like, for example, walking around the park, they're probably going to dress way down. Like, so they'll probably be to one of those extremes. They're probably not going to be somewhere in the middle. Like I said, they'll be trying to hide their face with a hat or, just to kind of stay away or, very, very much into like hiking, things like that. They'll be a lot more focused around things that are physical activities. So they'll have a lot of that boyish kind of look whenever they're out in public in general, and they'll flip like that and dress up and be really super, sexual and sexy and more feminine.
Absolutely.
Another thing you want, sorry, go ahead. I didn't
I
cut you
was going
off
to
there.
say another thing they tend to find appealing, tattoos and piercings.
Right.
So this is not true across the board. Not every performer is going to have tattoos and piercings, but a lot of them do.
And a lot of
So,
them like it.
and a lot of them are really attracted to it. Again, they're living the physical world, so physical modifications are something they're into.
Right. Now, whenever you talk to these girls, you can tell by some of the things we talked about already, kind of while you're in the conversation, if they have the vacant, kind of a little bit vacant eyes while you talk about stuff like that, if they lose interest very quickly, that sort of thing. The general consensus, whenever you realize the person you're talking to or interacting with, or you see as a performer, your general response immediately needs to be matching their level of interest in intellectual deep thought, which means very little, right? You want to match them, basically. You want to basically be a guy version of them. Because whenever you do this, if you're just like, hey, let's have a good time. All right, come up here, let's dance and spin around, whatever. Don't worry about that guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Whatever. I just brought this part of me out. That's all I did. I just would find that part of myself that really liked to have a good time and didn't like serious conversation. And I would just bring that out with these girls. And when I saw them, it would just be like we're in our own little private party in our little bubble. And when you do this, it's over, right? You're done. That's all you have to do. So make sure you notice that. Make sure you take the hint that she's into sports, that kind of thing, the tomboyish kind of thing, the vacant eyes. Every once in a while, if you start talking about something deep, if you notice that she's kind of moving her elbows out a little bit more than normal, or than the rest of the girls are, and probably more important than anything, that whenever you start to do anything physical at all with her, that she just lights up like a Christmas tree.
Totally. Now, one thing that cannot be overemphasized is that performers operate mostly on instinct. They're in touch with their body, and you cannot, like, imagine, you're, well, actually, one of the examples we have is the women's world champion racquetball player, a friend of mine. And if you're in any kind of intense sport, you're in any kind of, like, physical activity that's really demanding, which is, they love. You can't be thinking too much. You have to be able to react. So they cultivate that. They cultivate quick response time based on instinct. So they're going to be very instinctive, and that means they're also physical risk takers, and they respect people that are able to act quickly, move quickly, make decisions quickly, and have balls.
Right. So instead of looking at a menu for 10 minutes, you look at it for literally 45 seconds max, maybe tw 15 seconds, and just go, I'm going to take this.
Yeah.
That's it. Done. Over. Back to conversation, right? Also, really love stories about physical things that you've done that are feats, either feats of strength or feats of abnormal physical ability.
Totally.
Meaning, if you won the basketball championship when you were younger, if you once, I don't know, if you study martial arts and you had a study, like you had a sort of journey that you went on, that's something they might want to hear about a little bit. Anything that is physical in nature, if you can tap into that in any kind of way, you want to talk about that a little bit more when you're on a performer.
Totally. So let's talk about some examples. It's going to be really helpful to be able to kind of see some famous examples of performers so that you'll have an idea of what we're talking about here. For male examples, be real brief, pretty much 100% of the cast of Jackass are performers. Pretty much 100% of the male cast of Jersey Shore, performers.
Okay.
And just about any professional athlete that you hear interviewed or see, they're going to be a performer. It's just a profession that they do so much better at than any other type. That's pretty much who you're going to be dealing with. So,
I'd like to actually talk a little bit about the Jackass
okay.
and the Jersey Shore thing, because if you think about that personality type for a second, if you think
Yeah.
about the guys from Jackass, right, or from Jersey Shore, they're not known for being intelligent,
Nope.
not at all. And in fact, most sports stars that I know of that I see and everything, it's not that they're not known. It's not that people think that they're stupid at all. That's not how it comes when it comes to sports stars. But they're not well known because they're super intelligent, you
Yeah.
know? They're well known because of how good they are at what they do, you know?
Incredible physical skill.
Right. And so whenever you are thinking about a person, like an archetype to model, think about Johnny Knoxville, that kind of person, whenever you're doing this, or LeBron James, that kind of thing, if you really want
Charles
to.
Barkley, Michael Jordan. Yeah, absolutely.
And anybody that you can tap into mentally and bring out that part of your personality. I know I used to bring out a lot of like party, have a good time, just like free thought, free spirited kind of dude, that joked a lot. That was my kind of version of all this, and I would always attract these girls. And then whenever I did that, if I ever wanted to, like, if I needed to get laid or I really wanted to get laid that night, I would just go out with that personality type in mind, with like acting kind of like, I never did Johnny Knoxville, but I'd do some my own version of that, right? And when I was out, these women would just gravitate toward me. It was like I'd have three of them, and they were the only three in the whole place would be around me, you know? Let's talk about these girls then, examples of girls.
Let's talk about examples. Jenna Jameson, great example. I think everyone knows who that is. And as I mentioned, the vast majority of performers in porn are going to be performer types. So that's a great example set, which you probably have seen plenty of. So, you know what we're talking about. Megan Fox, another example. Obviously, she's an actress, so her professional body of work is a little bit different, but still a performer. Lady Gaga, same thing. Britney Spears, also a performer. Pamela Anderson and Pink, both performer types. Now, this one is not quite as well known. Rhonda Rajish, her last name is spelled Rajsicich. She's an athlete and the world champion for women's racquetball.
That's your friend you're talking about.
Yeah, she's a friend and she is a total performer and she's actually like insanely brilliant at what she does. So if you want to have an idea of how a performer moves, how they act, that kind of like quick response time and so on, go check her out on YouTube. She's got some videos of her totally kicking ass. It's crazy. Madonna, another performer. And Amy Winehouse, another performer. So,
And basically every woman who's ever competed for Miss America.
actually, a lot of Miss America people are traditionalists.
Ooh. That makes sense,
And
actually.
yeah, in that case, I mean, you have some performers in there too, definitely, but the Miss America pageant is a lot about conformity
Right.
and matching a specific standard. Performers, they like to be individuals, so fitting into that framework is kind of uncomfortable for them, whereas the
Okay.
traditionalists, they're all about it.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, that was I must be thinking of one girl in particular that is in my head that fits this model, because obviously there's a
Oh, there's definitely performers in there. It's just not the
right.
majority,
They
but
must stand out to me, I guess.
totally.
I'm still paying attention to them. All right, so let's move on from performers. We've already gone through that, and that's like I think was the most exciting type to run into randomly, but again, is very one of very many women on the kind of the buffet of your sexual options here as a man. And so some of the most attractive women will be spread across these other types, and you really need to know how to go for who you want here.
Right.
So we're
Well,
going to go into these two.
that's the thing. Performers have a lot of really fantastic characteristics, but you might not be into them.
Right.
Everyone's into certain types, and it just might not be your thing.
I'm not into them long term, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm not either. They're a lot of fun and they're great people, but not interested long term for myself at least. And there's actually a pattern to that too. We're talking about the types of women, but these types apply to men too. So you're going to fall in this framework somewhere as well. And at the end, I'll talk about which types actually enjoy each other the most.
Okay, so let's go ahead into the explorer category here.
So explorers are not as common. They're only 18.5% of the female population. They have a lot of characteristics in common, at least on the surface, with performers, but kind of under the hood, so to speak, they actually are really different. Explorers are really open to new experience, and they actually crave new experience. For them, it's not so much about the physical thrill, it's about the novelty. It's about doing something new, doing something that they have never experienced before. Both types crave freedom. I would say explorers need it a bit more. They can't stand being tied down.
Yeah, this is someone that you never want to sort of eliminate options for.
Right.
You don't want to make it seem like they're trapped, like they only have two options. You don't want to go, all right, well, you can either, where some girls may like this, but explorers wouldn't, you may not want to say, all right, we can either go over here or over here. Or, we have two choices. We can either go this place or this place, right? Whenever you're trying to leave, you can go to my house or we can go to this other bar, right? They may
Right.
go,
What's going to happen there is she's immediately going to want a third option.
right, and she may make it up,
And she
which, and it may be go home by herself.
right. And that might even be that she kind of wanted to do one of the two options you suggested, but the fact that you only offered two and that you framed things so that those are the only possibilities, her brain is immediately going to go, well, what other possibilities are there? And that's what she's going to be thinking about.
And as long as you are trying to eliminate options for her to kind of narrow down, and the more needy you seem, the more sort of unattracted she's going to be to you.
Totally.
So you have to come across as extremely cool with everything always with explorers. You have to just be like, oh, that's cool. All right, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, whatever you want. Like that
Sh
kind
should we
of.
bring ourselves into this a little bit?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so Josh is an explorer.
Just so you know.
Just so you know.
So you know, don't tell me. Don't
Right.
tell me that it's either your place or another bar.
Right. So you probably have a pretty good insight into what this.
Right, I have the guy's version of this,
Exactly.
I also really get along with other explorers as well, with women that are explorers too. And so I've noticed that with my experience, explorers for me are a lot easier to get in bed for
Yeah.
me because I speak their language, right? So whenever you find out where you are in this path too, you may find that you have a lot in common with a certain type of girl, and that those kinds of girls are going to be automatically attracted to you without even really having to try so much,
Right.
right? But the problem with that is that if you're the kind of guy that is,
You don't want to lock down your options. You want
well, I'm this. I don't want to lock down my options as an explorer,
to. Exactly.
but if you're the kind of guy who is the personality type that is the smallest percentage, let's say, like a very small percentage of the female population, is that personality type. Then you really need to be able to shift into different almost like parts of your personality to be able to speak to these different types of women. Otherwise, you won't have very many options as a
Right.
man, right?
And some of those types are going to be easier than others.
Right. And that's what we're going over here, obviously.
Exactly.
So I'll let you continue with the explorer here.
So explorers, like we mentioned, love to experience the new. They're driven to shake things up and find new ways of doing everything. They're really creative. Slightly similar to the performers, but still distinct. Explorers crave enthusiasm, passion, and unique experience, whereas the performers are about thrills, adrenaline, and excitement. So similar, but there's an important distinction there.
Let's say that travel is major for the explorer.
Huge.
And this would be something that instead of focusing around the physical nature of going to somewhere and climbing Kilimanjaro, let's say, like if you wanted to like travel and climb Kilimanjaro, instead of talking about the hiking experience of going to Kilimanjaro, you talk about the cultural experience of going to a new place you've never been to before without any guides and with unlimited options. So these women respond a lot more to sort of future projection, meaning that you're going to talk about something that you're going to do someday and you have passion about it, right? These girls are really dig that sort of thing. Like I've always wanted to do. That's how I start a lot of conversations with explorers. You know what I've always wanted to do? I've always wanted to blank, right? Let's say that I've always wanted to climb a really tall tree and just sit up there and have lunch in the top of a tree, right? They'd be like, "What?" Now, of course, an explorer and a performer would both love this because the performer would find the exhilarating movement of climbing a tree, the challenge of climbing a tree. But instead of focusing on, I want to conquer this tree, which the performer would be much more excited about, I want to talk about the experience of spending time in the top of a tree, which is a different vantage point than I would normally spend time.
Totally, and explorers are also much more conceptual. Performers are tied to the real world very intimately, tied to the tangible world. Explorers are much more abstract thinkers. So personal meaning is going to be important to them, and that's going to be something that, that really speaks to them.
Rapport is, in that case, in that instance, right, rapport is going to be very, very important for the explorer. Not necessary to go very deep to get them in bed, right, but definitely something that would trigger their interest when they start to see that you're passionate about something.
Right. Performers, I would say they have the least need for rapport of any type.
Mm-hmm.
And too much of it will, a lot of times, kill the interaction. It'll kill the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Explorers, though, they won't do anything without rapport. They need a bit at least. If you have none, then they're not going to be interested. If you have too much, then you can overdo it.
Right.
But
let's talk about why. Yeah. If you do too much rapport, meaning if you connect on something emotional and you go through the rapport process, which if you don't know about that, again, you can brush up in the Tao of Badass with that. I talk about rapport a lot in there, but if you begin to give too much rapport, they feel obligated to hang out with you. If they feel obligated, now they have fewer options, right? So it freaks them out.
Yes.
You can't do that, you know? You have to do something that's fleeting. Whenever you talk about your childhood, you may go, the point is not the emotion really so much with the explorer. You may instead say, that's kind of funny because when I was a kid, I grew up on a farm in Nebraska, but then drop it, right? Drop the farm in Nebraska thing, drop whatever it is that was really interesting or curious that you might be curious about, and go straight to a point, right? And there were a lot of rolling hills. And one year I spent the entire year just going from hill to hill and drawing maps of what I saw, right? So I spent this whole, every tree, every rock, every fence post, no matter what it was, I mapped it all out. And then I made a treasure map, and I gave it to my little brother, and he went and found the treasure. Like, it took him like 4 days, right? This isn't true, by the way. I'm just making this up off the top of my head.
But that would be cool, though.
That would be really cool experience. But the point is that instead of focusing on, oh, I grew up in Nebraska, and here's what in a farm in Nebraska, and here's what my experience was emotionally with that child, with my childhood. Instead, you're rushing through that process and getting straight to the point, which is exploration, right?
Right.
I explored the hills and I mapped them out and I made a treasure map. New and novel experience I'd never done before, right? That she's probably never done before. She has to feel like you are super spontaneous and that you're willing to drop everything and go somewhere else, especially if you're not in Nebraska when you say this, right? I grew up on a farm in Nebraska and I'm the only person who left the town. That's like very exciting to a girl who's an explorer.
Absolutely. Explorers are driven by curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say things that don't make conventional sense, if you keep them guessing, if you kind of drop hints, but basically if you construct a puzzle
mm-hmm.
that they don't have the answer to, you're going to keep them thinking about you. You're going to keep their interest.
Right. And you may say, 2 years ago, I was sailing for the Chicago Yacht Club. That's another story.
Right.
But since then, I've gone away from water and I've gone to land. Let me tell you about where I am now. Right. So now they're not even listening to what you're saying. They're just trying to imagine you sailing for the Chicago Yacht Club. And that thought in their head is so prestigious and awesome because they can't focus on a small, like if it's not that awesome in their heads, they'll be listening to what you're talking about. So they're trying to play that up big time in their heads. Like they're trying to explore that concept and they can't focus on both. So now, the cool thing about this process of kind of dropping something, seeding, that's what this is called, seeding an idea, and then moving on to the next idea for an explorer really quickly, one of the amazing things that it does is that they can't stop thinking about the thing you were seeding, and because you're talking about something else while they're focusing on that other thing, they then lose what you're talking about and then become curious about two things at once because they don't have the full picture for either one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now, they're really good at figuring things out when they don't have...
Piecing things together,
when they don't have the full picture, because that's something that happens to them all the time.
Right.
But they're going to be attracted to the mystery. They're going to be driven to solve the puzzle, especially if you've come across as a cool, appealing, outside-the-box kind of guy in the first place.
Right, exactly. And especially if that surprises them. So if you are like, if you look like a regular dude, and in every other way you look like a regular dude, and then this comes out when they interact with you, then this will be super powerful. If you look like somebody who's really out there already, then this will be still be very powerful. They'll be drawn to you without any work, without any effort. But if you look conventional and then they start talking to you and you're not, they will go, whoa. Like, that'll really attract them and really get their attention in a lot of ways. So, regardless of how you look, talking to a girl in this kind of way will allow you to attract her instantly, and that kind of it'll definitely pique her interest. Now, I would like to talk in a bit, maybe after we're done with these types and we get through the whole thing, if we have time for this, about how to sort of go about your evening if it's at nighttime, or how to go about your daily routine when you're talking to a girl or when you're interacting with women, that will touch on each one of these types and then watch her reaction to see which one she is, right? So that's a really good way, is to sprinkle a little piece of each of this, maybe even into one paragraph, right? So you could have all four of these elements we're going to talk about in one story and watch her eyes.
Right.
Whenever she
See
gets
what she
ex
gravitates toward.
exactly, whenever you see which one she lights up on, then you drop the rest and you focus on that. And if it's making her more excited, just run with it. If it's not, stop it, do a couple others until you find out the right one, and then run with it as well. So we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Cool. So some notes on explorers. They tend to be really charming. They tend to appeal to almost everyone because they're fun and exciting, so they tend to be in really high demand. So because of that, they tend to have some pretty strong filters. But at the same time, they like being fair-minded, so they actually probably will give you more of a shot than performers will. They're going
Well,
to
they
be
will if you're different. If they think you're the same as everybody else, they will just write you off immediately.
They're spontaneous-like performers, but they're longer-range thinkers. So they're going to be thinking about things a little deeper. They're going to be thinking a little more about the future and a little more about implications. So keep that in mind.
Can you explain implications a little bit more?
What's going to be the result? What's going to happen?
Right.
If I go to bed with you tonight, which, we're both dudes, that's probably not going to happen. But if that happens, what's going to be the result? Am I going to feel like I hate myself in the morning,
I'll feel that way. I'll tell you that
Like, yeah, I mean, you're cool and all that, but I probably
right
would feel that way too.
now.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yep.
They're going to be thinking about the consequences a little more than
Right.
performers are.
These are the kind of girls that will get all the way up to your car, then have second thoughts.
Right. So that's where rapport comes in. If they don't have that rapport, then they're going to feel uncomfortable and might back out.
Right. So you do a little bit of rapport, just enough to keep their interest piqued. And then you keep changing yourself so they don't know how to peg you. And then you'd basically, I mean, literally, you just go, let's go somewhere else.
Right.
You don't say, let's go to my place. That's not what you want. Unless there's something really curious there. And you can make it up, to be honest. Like the famous reason for going back to my place is I have this awesome cat. He does backflips. My other favorite that I got from a student, actually, who's now a DAO ambassador in the members area, is his name's Brett. He said, "Oh, you should really check out my art collection. It's like rarest art collection ever." And then when he gets back, her back to her place, his place, he goes to his fridge and it's like all these drawings that his 4-year-old niece
That's
did or something, you know.
pretty good.
It's amazing, right? But these girls need that kind of plausible deniability, because if you start to point at one thing, they feel like they're locked into sleeping with you, and if they feel locked into it, they won't do it, right? So you really have to take it one tiny step at a time, and it's really a need to know basis. They only need to know, only give them the information that they need to know at the moment, because if you give them more than that, then they really begin to be overwhelmed, and they psych themselves out, and they'll have second thoughts, and they'll want to leave.
Totally.
And if that does happen, then all you have to do is not be super needy through text messaging and things like that, right, later. And whenever, when they see you, as long as you're really cool and open about everything, then they will compare that to every other dude they know. And in any moment where they need to get laid, because they just need it, right, for whatever reason, probably in this case, probably for validation, or just to make sure that they're still sexy, guess who they're going to call? You. Because you have no judgments. You have no implications. You're totally cool with everything, right? So they're going to call you for that, and that will happen. I've had girls, not anymore, obviously, but because I'm in a relationship, but I've had girls who would call me after 6 months of not talking to me, because I left everything open. I never closed doors. If you've ever deleted a phone number from your phone, stop. Don't ever delete another girl's phone number. I don't care how angry you are. If you get mad and you're upset and you have your own issues, deal with that shit on your own time and your own space, and don't bring that into her life, right? She doesn't need to know about that crap. You just bring in the fun, right? And when you leave, it's like everything's cool. And you can literally type, Oh, that's cool, whatever you want. If she was like, you know, hey, let's hang out tomorrow, you're like, okay, cool, that sounds good. And then tomorrow comes, you plan, you like move shit around, you know? And then she says, oh, sorry, I can't make it today, right? You may have like changed everything. It may even cost you money because you put some shit off, right, in order to make it happen. But if you know that she's an explorer, you can't let her know that.
Right. Yeah, that actually bears mentioning. Performers and explorers are the two types that are hands down going to be the most likely to sleep with you fast, but they're also the two types most likely to flake.
Right, they will flake. It's absolutely true.
It's guaranteed.
And the thing that you want to be comfortable with is that you need to be comfortable attracting several explorers and several performers at the same time.
Yeah, and don't take it personally if they flake. I mean, there's no advantage to taking it personally, A, and B, it probably wasn't intended personally. They're just spontaneous, so if something else came up, they might just go with it.
Right, and also they may be doing it to test you, which is very likely.
Absolutely.
They may be looking to see if you actually are that cool with everything, so they flake on you. Not because, you know, they don't want it. They definitely do most of the times. You know, so in this case, compliance is really big as well.
They know that they're spontaneous and that they like to have the freedom to change their minds. So if they pick up that you're the kind of guy that gets pissed off if they change plans, then that's going to be a turnoff.
Right, exactly. Let's continue here then.
All right. So explorers love breaking rules, especially rules that don't make sense to them.
Right, naughtiness is really amazing. If you can frame the naughtiness here with the explorer, it's really powerful.
Yeah.
Like, be a naughty little girl, that kind of thing.
Exactly, and this is just a game. They just really like bucking convention because, like, the conventional traditional way to do things to them is kind of ridiculous. So any opportunity to kind of go against that without too much major negative consequence, they're all about it.
Right. And also, again, keep in mind that you can, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the framing section and everything, but you can make a girl feel as though the experience she's having with you is novel, even though it's something she's done 1,000 times. And the way that you do that is you create, well, there's several ways to do it, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but one great way is to create what's called an us bubble, where it's you against the two of you versus the world. That's where you start to point people out that are doing something that's not something that you would like. Something that maybe is okay, good, that was the next thing you're talking about. Something that maybe is like conventional to everybody else, and you point it out as like being kind of ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Now, you never want to do this to somebody. You don't want to throw anybody under the bus as much as possible.
Right.
Even if it's a guy, you don't want to throw him under the bus either, because there's a chance that you're not dealing with an explorer and you think you are, and then you say that and you throw them under the bus and you're actually dealing with a traditionalist, and all of a sudden you're done. Right,
Right.
they won't like that because they see a lot of commonalities in that person who's pointed out and them, so they wouldn't like, they'd feel judged instead. So your main thought here really needs to be to get on their side, and the way that you do that is you go say things like, you know, people like you and me, we don't get the opportunity to stand around and just blend in like everybody else. We can't help it, right? We just have to be weird, right? And even though you're secretly a little bit nerdy, this is something that explorers are.
Absolutely.
Secretly a little bit nerdy, right? Almost across the board. And you're secretly a little bit nerdy. People like us, we just have our own rules. You know, we have our own space, we have our own world. And it's so much better than everybody else. They can come in, but we have to invite them,
Yeah.
right? So now you're saying all these things about we, us, people like us, you know, that sort of thing. And then everybody else, like they, right? That's how, the words you use for other people. So that helps them kind of feel like they're in what's called an us bubble.
Yeah, and I was going to bring that up in just a slightly different twist on it. Explorers crave a partner in crime. They want to have someone, some partner with them that loves doing the same stuff, that kind of sees the world in the same way. Explorers feel alienated, all of them. On some deep down core level, they realize that they are not like other people, and they feel that very intensely. So if you give them the impression that, hey, I'm actually someone kind of like you, we're actually a little bit in this together.
Well, yeah, but the hard part about that process, this is something that actually is really worth mentioning, is that you can't say that out loud.
No.
That's what's really important. You have to actually say, one of my favorite things to do with explorers is just to go in the middle of a conversation, like a joke or whatever, like, you know, like say that she's really interested in talking to you and you're laughing, whatever. In the middle of all that, the way that you transition from that lighthearted conversation, like joking around, banter, demonstrating high value process, over to rapport is and the deep connection where you start to get sexual a little bit later is I usually would transition from with something as simple as saying, you know what? You're different than most girls, aren't you? That's it. That's usually all they need, right? You're different than most girls, aren't you? And then she'll go, what do you mean? And she says that, and she wants to know more, which she will want to know more. You just say whatever you want to say, right?
Right. Explorers, partially because they have that intense feeling of alienation, which is something they may or may not admit. So don't necessarily go there directly. But right. They are real, real interested in hearing more about themselves.
Right. And some girls aren't. Actually, I know it might sound kind of crazy that since it seems like every girl wants to hear more about herself, but some girls actually aren't as interested in that. Every girl's kind of interested in it, but,
right.
but explorers are very excited about it. So whenever you
notice
that.
It's a mystery
to
them. It's a mystery they've lived with their entire life. They just right. feel different. They feel a little weird. They don't know why.
Right, exactly. And no one's been able to tell them, most likely.
Right.
So you can use this opportunity here, especially if you're trying to, you know, get sexual very quickly. You can use the opportunity. This is an opportunity for you to drop in a qualifier, basically to form her, to frame her into anything you really want. You can say, you're a little bit different than most girls, aren't you? And she'll be like, well, what do you mean? Why? And you go, you're just really open to new things that you may have never tried before. You know, you don't have the same social rules that everyone else has, right? So I'm talking about sex with a guy you've never met before right now. That's what I'm actually talking about. I'm just going to not say it out loud.
Right.
I'm just going to talk about all the things that are positive about sleeping with me, right? You're the kind of girl that maybe some girls don't understand, right? But you're just beyond them. All the rules that they have to follow, you secretly break, right? So now I'm just framing her for this environment, for the conversation that's going to happen later, and for the experience later. Because as she begins to hear more about herself and she likes all these positive things that you're saying, she has to live into those things. And later on, whenever you get her back to your place and you're starting to get sexual with her, she'll want to be that girl. She'll want to be the girl who's open to sleeping with you because she already associated what you said earlier about her accepting these new things and going against the grain. All of her excuses that she would normally have with not sleeping with a guy on the first night that she met him, she've already agreed that those are things that she doesn't pay attention to.
Right.
So as she now is talking to you, hanging out with you, and getting sexual with you, her brain can't call on any of those excuses as to why she should stop. So she has no reason to stop. So she keeps going. She likes it, you know, and you like it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully.
and actually that just reminded me of another thing. Explorers and performers both are going to tend to have a lot of male friends.
Yeah. Don't be intimidated by that though.
Right.
Most of them are not getting anything anywhere with them.
Right.
And most of those guys are actually treating them like they're traditionalists.
Right, they're treating like princesses, which is something that they can tolerate, but they're not into.
Right, exactly. They like it because they get a lot of free stuff, and that's novel, but they don't really dig it. Otherwise, right. they'd be with those guys, but they're not. Those are guys called orbiters. These guys will, though, try to beat you down.
Right.
They'll try to beat you off. They'll try to beat you off.
That's a different kind of orbiter.
I was going to say beat you off with a stick, but that doesn't really work either.
No. Let's
beating men off with a stick.
Let's move on. Abort.
Well, my point there is that those guys will try to cock block you, and they will do anything they can to keep you from getting laid, basically. So you have to create an us bubble
right.
against
failure,
those guys.
Their failure is going to make them resent your potential success and
right.
try to prevent it.
They will try to prevent it, too. And the way that you do that, you get around it, is either by, before you approach her, to get all those guys on your side, which they will never see this coming. Because they're just trying to please everybody, which is why they're in a situation in the first place. So you can very easily manipulate these guys into basically accepting you ahead of time. And then you can waltz right in and they can't say anything because they've already accepted you, right? They don't see you as a threat yet until you get in there and it's too late. Then they get bummed.
Right.
And then I love that trick. And then the other one is to get in. And then if you get in, you're talking to her and you all of a sudden realize that there are a lot of orbiters, to create an us bubble against all the orbiters. Not too much, right? Because she'll feel she has rapport with some of those guys because literally she will call them crying about her ex-boyfriend and they will sit there and listen to the whole damn thing,
right? Right?
They are emotional tampons. So she will feel like they're necessary in her life, right? And so if you can't go too hard with the with the pushing these guys out of the bubble, right? But you can say, like, these guys are really cool, and I really like your friends. They're really nice. They're really nice guys, right? So you're saying, I think they're really nice guys. I'm not really a nice guy, but I really think that they are, right? So now you're just separating yourself away from them, right?
Right, and she's going to have them slotted in her mind as nice guys, so that's right. Going to make perfect sense to her.
Exactly, and so you're going to say, I'm not a nice guy, I'm kind of a dickhead sometimes, but they seem like really nice guys, and I really admire that, right? That's all you got to say. You know, in that case, it's, again, you're saying them, they, right?
Right.
And you can even say, I know that we can be nice. I'm not saying that we're not nice, right? So now I'm switching this to us, all of a sudden, instead of me, right? I was saying, I'm not a nice guy. But now I'm saying we can be nice, but right. We're not nice all the time, right? And she'll go, yeah, of course.
Which is leading into the partners in crime concept without saying it directly.
Exactly. So there's a lot of, like, obviously I'm getting into some conversational jujitsu here, and it's very powerful stuff. So, but, you know, we'll get into more in a minute, but that's another kind of technique I wanted to cover there.
So we mentioned that explorers really crave and need freedom, and they'll panic if they feel trapped. So just make sure that doesn't happen. And the last thing I want to bring out about explorers is that they're highly optimistic. They think in terms of what if, they think in terms of possibilities and how things could be. So what that means is, in a relationship, with their friends, with people they care about, in just about every situation, even like planning their own life, thinking about what they're going to do next, they're incredibly optimistic because they see possibilities and they tend to believe that things are going to work out the best possible way, or at least they believe that they can. So they also tend to stay in relationships longer than they should. They tend to get stuck and sometimes have a little protection against that because what happens is they don't see their partner as they are currently. They see their partner as they could be. They see him as the best version of himself. So they'll a lot of times stay with a loser for a long time because they're not really paying attention to what he's actually like. They're thinking about what he could be like. So a couple examples of famous explorer types. Jenna Elfman, actress, she was Dharma on Dharma and Greg. So both the actress and the character, great example of an explorer type. Taya Leone, another actress, and I think she was actually married to David Duchovny for a while, right?
I don't know, actually.
I think she was,
I don't know anything about, I live in LA, but I don't know anything about actors or actresses.
Yeah. Anyway, great example of an explorer. Lisa Kudrow, who played Phoebe on Friends. Another great example of the actress and the character both being explorer types. Tina Fey, another explorer. And you can kind of see that. She's very conceptual and, explorers tend to be charming, funny. Reese Witherspoon, another example. This next one's a little less well-known, but is another personal friend, so I want to bring that out because she's a great example. Julia Allison, who's a TV personality journalist and so on. You can Google her. She's on YouTube and all that stuff. And then Asia Carrera, who's a porn star, and not like the tradition. She's not a performer. She's actually an explorer. And if you look into her stuff, she's into a lot of really conceptual, like, kind of cerebral stuff that performers would not really want to touch with a 10-foot pole.
Okay, I'm curious about that one. I have to look that one up later.
Yeah.
Do our research. We'll do our research on that one later on.
I do lots of research.
Awesome. Okay, so just to be very clear here, the way to spot an explorer, she's going to be very much, very similar to the performer in a lot of ways whenever you see her.
Right, on the surface.
On the surface. But as you kind of dive down and you begin to kind of talk to her a little bit more about things, she's going to actually be excited by things like travel, by by breaking the rules, by going against the grain, that kind of thing. And where the performer would be a lot less excited about that, would be a lot more interested in the experience of physically going somewhere, physically doing something, that would make her kind of feel like she's in her body. So, for example, performers would be more excited to hear about how you feel whenever you are hiking and explorers would be more excited to feel to hear about where you what you discovered while you were hiking, right? So you're there, you know, one is focused on the body, the other is focused on the outside world. And this is the really big difference, right? So you've got performers focusing on what is going on within them. Again, very good for a sexual partner. And then when it comes to explorers, much more about something that is ethereal, something that's kind of out there, something that you, whenever you experience it, you're kind of talking about, you know, if you're going to be talking about your experiences, something that you sort of describe in a way that allows them to feel like they're experiencing it with you.
Explorers very commonly have kind of a hippie vibe to them.
Yeah. Which like I dig, by the way.
What's that?
I dig that, by the way. But I'm an explorer, too. I'm an explorer, too. I don't really have a hippie vibe at all, other than my facial hair right now. But besides that, am I Nag Champa?
Right.
No, I don't really have Nag Champa, but I'm not against that.
So explorers are just going to be more interested in intangibles, in concepts, in ideas, in stuff that you can't touch. If you can touch it, it's going to be performer territory, and that's what they're going to be into.
Right. So let's go ahead and move on to the next one here, since we're already pretty far into this already. And,
totally.
Talk about that.
So the next one is, I think we actually don't really need to spend a whole lot of time here because these types are really rare and you're not going to run into a lot of them.
Yeah, let's talk about how to spot them definitely then, because this is going to be one of those things where once you realize that you're talking to, and this one's called the Oracle, once you realize you're talking to the Oracle here, then or an Oracle, not the Oracle, then you're going to want to shift what it is that you're sort of the style that you're using to communicate to her, what it is you're saying and how you're saying it really fast so you meet her her attention and that you kind of meet her where she's at. If you don't do this, then you'll lose her again.
Right? Yeah.
These girls, though, because they are so rare in type, and I should really let you talk about how rare they are, but I'll get that in a minute. You can do that as you go. But because they are so rare, they feel misunderstood a lot. And
yeah.
So it's going to be your opportunity now to stand out. All you have to do is notice that they are an oracle type and then say something that shows them that you know that. And as soon as you do that, you're going to be able to sort of be the only guy in the world that gets them, most likely, you know, besides maybe an ex-boyfriend that they dated, you know, 20 years ago or something like that, you know?
Right. So as we mentioned, Josh is an explorer. I'm an oracle. Oracles are the rarest of the four types here. They're only 6.5% of the female population. And in some ways, they're kind of the trickiest as well, because on the surface, on the outside, they look usually pretty kind of normal and conservative. They're non-traditional, but they can be conservative or they can be really open to experience. It kind of depends. And it's also really dependent on their mood. So this is kind of tricky territory there. I would say there's only a couple rules that are always going to apply with oracles.
Okay, let's go into those and let's talk a little bit more about it and figure out exactly how to spot
sure.
these, because that's really going to be the hard part of spotting them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the big commonality is, as you mentioned, they're rare and they sense that. We call them oracles because they have this fantastic ability to tap into other people's worldview. They have an ability to get inside other people's heads and see how their minds are constructed.
Very kind of feelery in this case, I guess, in order to do that, or may come across as very sensitive.
Yeah, they have a tendency to be really sensitive, and they have a tendency to not show that real quickly. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they really hide it. Sometimes it's really obvious that they're very sensitive, but they all are.
Oddly enough, I ended up, though this is the rarest type, I ended up dating a lot of these girls.
Well, actually, yeah, I was going to – I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
And you're seeing one now, right?
Right.
Yeah, so
– seeing one now. She's my girlfriend, yeah, so
yes. Oracles have a fantastic ability to connect with other people, but other people cannot connect with them. So the connection tends to go one way. Other people feel like the oracle really gets who they are, but – they don't get the oracle, and they don't know that. Mm-hmm. The oracle knows that, and they feel very isolated, they feel alone, and they feel like an alien. Mm-hmm. But everyone else has no idea.
Right.
So they crave understanding and connection. They feel deeply, deeply misunderstood.
This is very, very important.
Yeah.
I mean, just in general, this is very, very important around this type for the Oracle. You've got somebody who desperately wants to not only be like everyone else and be understood and accepted like everyone else, but at the same time doesn't want to betray themselves and wants to do that kind of on their own terms, and that really doesn't happen. What you end up seeing is you see all the oracles, a group of oracles that find each other. Of all different ages.
If they're lucky.
If they're really lucky.
Most of them don't.
And they're usually all different ages and styles and everything too, you know? You're saying?
Right.
Most of them don't, you're saying? Yep.
Yeah, most of them, well, since it's so rare, most of them are hiding.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretending to be normal because they don't know what else to do.
Yep.
And so because of that, the fact that they're rare, A, and the fact that most of them are kind of in hiding, B, they generally don't end up finding each other. They just feel alone and like an alien and like there's something wrong with them their entire lives.
Right. This is powerful because once you recognize you're talking to an oracle, all you really need to do is build lots of rapport and you're pretty much good to go. I mean, that's like
yeah.
the – well, they need to be seen – as well, it depends really. Actually, let me tell you why it depends. If you're talking to an oracle, and I of course have had a lot of experience with this, so I know this one for sure. If you're talking to an oracle and you realize that they are an oracle, right? That they feel this isolation. What you want to do in that case is do everything you can to make them feel welcome. And to make them feel like they're in the right place, right? Because, and if you do this publicly, they can freak out. This is something that you do not want to do. You don't want to publicly call them out on being something different than they are. Because their entire world can be fabricated. All their friends,
right.
All their acceptance, everything.
You can do it in a public space.
Right, not just in front of their friends. You just don't want to do it in front of the people that they know.
But not in a public conversation.
Yes, that
so you could be in a bar and say this, mm-hmm. so long as it's... You know, you've created that us bubble.
Yeah, it's just the two of you. No one else can hear, really, because
right.
there's a bunch of other stuff going
that's
on.
That's totally fine.
It's completely fine, and if you do it right, that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot more to do.
Yeah. So one thing that's a little bit of a leverage point here is that oracles are the exact opposite of performers, and explorers are the exact opposite of traditionalists. And that... The fact that there's opposites there has some interesting implications, but it basically means that you can't really separate opposites from each other. If you have one person that is, you know, totally oracle, they're going to have a little bit of performer in them, but it's going to be really sensitive and really vulnerable, but they want to explore it. Mm-hmm. So oracles, for all their kind of finickiness and complexity, really want to get fucked.
Yes. And need it.
And they
sometimes
need it.
We'll tap into that whenever they're out and then turn that off later. So a lot of them have a lot of shame around this part of their – usually with this part of their lives, right? They'll have just tons of shame around this. Not that they've done anything wrong at all. It's just that when they betray themselves to try to fit in like everybody else, they usually go all out when they do it. And it's like a binge.
Right.
And it can be really overwhelming. And I know a lot of the girls that I dated were like this. You know,
right.
I might catch them in the middle of the binge. You know,
right.
I might catch them before – or I might catch them after, right? So depending on where they are in that process, I don't care where they are in that process, really. I just want them to be happy. So I would help them push through it if possible, but I'm not going to judge them if they slept with a bunch of guys. Like, I've slept with more women than any of them have slept with guys. It's just mostly probable. I've been with a lot of women.
Right.
You know? And that actually, a lot of oracles find that very comforting. A lot of performers find it very comforting.
Right.
You know?
Because they know that that means they're less likely to be judged.
Exactly. And especially an oracle who already feels really isolated.
So oracles are going to be, as we mentioned, really sensitive. And I mean that in both senses of the word. They're going to be sensitive to being hurt. And they're also going to be sensitive the way that an instrument, like a scientific apparatus, is sensitive. It just picks up a lot of detail.
Yeah.
Oracles are deeply mystical. They, at their core, they really want to believe in magic. They want to believe in the paranormal. They want all this stuff to be true. They may or may not actually buy into it, but they have this desire. They wish it were true.
Right.
That's
really powerful if you know any magic tricks, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just something simple, something really simple. Also, love being tricked. This is actually really funny, and I can talk about that in just a second. But
okay.
There's like a lot of different types of mentalism, things like that you can use with oracles that really is powerful.
Oracles at their core believe, and they might not have this phrase in their head, they might not have verbalized it this way, but they believe that the world is not what it appears to be. That's kind of at the core of who they are. So they are really attracted to mysticism and all of these alternate ways of looking at things. They have an incredible knack for getting inside other people's heads, and they tend to know things without knowing how they know them. And they're usually right. They're not always right, it's not perfect, but more often than not, they get a sense about something, and there's no rational way they could know that thing, and they end up being right. Happens over and over and over again. So, as I mentioned, they're really sensitive, and they're also very mood dependent. And they have this feeling of intense alienation, even way more than the explorers do. So they need understanding and they need acceptance of their weirdness. Listen carefully and do not interrupt them. I'm going to repeat that because it's important. Do not interrupt an oracle.
When she's talking, just let her go. If anything, if they stop and they don't continue because they think that you're not interested, confirm that you are and that you're just fascinated and you want to hear more about it, and then let them keep going.
Right. On some level, they kind of know they're fascinating or they want to be. So if you take that approach, then they're going to really love that too. They need a lot of rapport. That's what they crave. That's what they're missing in their lives.
Now, depending on their state too, if
Binge.
they're in a performer binge,
Yep.
then they won't need any, and having any rapport scares the crap out of them, right?
Right, because they. Okay, so. Oracles also have a knack at creating really intense rapport because they can get inside other people's heads. So this is something they're really used to. It's just they're used to having it go one direction. They're used to doing it for other people and creating that sense of rapport for someone else. They're not used to feeling rapport themselves.
The older that an oracle gets without really finding a man that she really wants, the more likely it is she's gonna be set in her idea that no one's gonna understand her the way she understands other people.
Right.
And because of that, she's gonna be more skeptical of your ability to see her. Just by knowing this, the stuff that we're telling you now, you'll bypass 90%
Yeah.
of her filters because you're gonna be able to say, okay, well, look, I can tell these things about you, and no one knows her this well. We're just telling you, we're giving you a pattern right now that you can put over any oracle anytime you want, and you can say these things about her, and it will be true. You
Right.
know, it will be 100% true about her, and she'll think that you've never like that. You can look into her bone marrow, that you can see into her soul, and she probably will believe in a soul. You know,
Yeah.
she'll believe in a something, a spirit or something, most likely. And it's not your job to take her away from that. It's your job to sort of to, it's not your job to say, okay, well, look, there is no spiritual magic, nothing like that. That was one of the things that I screwed up in the past, is I would take that spirituality or that magic away from them. Instead, it's your job to create the magic for them, but let them know that you're creating it. Because if they feel betrayed at all in any way that you've been faking this rapport or, you know, pulling the wool over their eyes or something, you've not made an angry girl. You've made a powerful enemy, a very, very powerful enemy. He knows you better than you think you do,
Yeah.
because she's already seen you. She knows you. She knows how to turn your world upside down and ruin it,
Yeah.
and she will do it. So you cannot do that. You got to make sure that you are ve when you are sensitive to her. If you're just trying to get in her pants, I'd say skip the oracle, right?
Yeah.
Unless she's in a binge, like you're saying, a
Performer
performer
binge.
binge, and in which case, by all means, have a good time, because you won't even notice that she's an oracle. You probably won't even pick that up. You'll think she's a performer, and she'll love that. The only difference is that whenever you.
She's going to be a little more cerebral. She'll be a little more,
Exactly. She won't glaze over
right.
when you're talking about deep things. She'll be kind of excited about that. And when you get physical with her, when you start to spin around, whatever, she's going to go immediately to sexuality. She won't go, oh, I'm having a great time. This is awesome. She'll go, sexuality, and turn it right on because she knows where this is going, you know? So you'll keep that in mind as well. If you do have an oracle on a binge, and you notice that, be like I said, tread very carefully.
When an oracle goes into a performer binge, it's not a good place for them.
No, it's not, and you don't want to take advantage of that. So it's best for you to get them to a place where they're alone with you, and then start to explore a little bit, and then drop it. Like, don't go too deep, you know, with what it is about her or what she feels or anything like that. But once she's like in that moment where she'll definitely be pretending to be okay with everything.
Yeah.
And she'll be very aggressive sexually, things like that. But try to make love to her instead of fucking her.
Yeah.
Especially when she's in that performer binge. And the reason why I'd say that is because that's the only way you're going to get rapport with her. If she's in a performer binge and you notice that and you think she's a performer, you get it back and then you realize that somehow you realize she's an oracle. Try not to make it like quick and gone if you want it to happen more than once. If you only want it to be one time, then you can do whatever you want. It's not a big deal, but it's not going to be leaving her better than you found her in that case. Right. You're actually causing her to go deeper into her binge and a downward spiral.
Right. The cause of the performer binge is pain.
Yes.
That's why they do it.
And they're
trying to escape something that's deeply painful to them.
It's usually unacceptance too.
Yeah.
It's usually isolation and acceptance. So if you accept her for being that performer and you like her because of it, you're only furthering her association with act like not me, and then all of a sudden people will like me.
Right.
And that's not what you really want to do if you want to leave her better than you found her. You have to kind of help her explore this, her uniqueness and how amazing that is. Right. Whenever she says stuff to you that, even if she's in a performer binge, you know, whenever she says stuff to you like she has an insight about you, just let yourself be super surprised that she knows that about you. Tell her, right? It's so
that,
funny.
That
no
probably
one
won't
that.
Be too much of a stretch.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just tell her, like, it's so crazy that you know that about me, because I don't tell anybody that. Like, you can open up a lot around an oracle and they will accept that, you know, and you can be vulnerable.
What's happening inside your head is their home turf. So,
right.
Yeah, you can be much more open. And the thing is, they are weird. And so they tend to be really accepting of other people because of that.
Right.
They tend to not judge too much.
Right.
Not always. They can be a little judgmental, but usually not.
Right.
So oracles are mysterious. They're tricky. They're a little finicky and very mood dependent, and they're sensitive. They're penetrating too. They tend to look at everything like they can see right through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not trying to do that. It's just how they are. They can kind of make you feel naked, like they can see through you, which can be intimidating.
It's very intimidating, especially if you don't have your shit together.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be easy to deceive these girls, I'll tell you that.
Right. Deception is really not a good strategy here. It's just not.
No.
I mean, it's not a great
and they're
strategy
usually pretty
anyway.
Upfront, too, you know? Yeah. I mean, so if you do want to just fuck them and they're in that performer mood, you can just say that and they'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
And they're cool with it. It's not a big deal. They've already accepted this ahead of time. You don't need to pretend like you're going somewhere that you're not. You don't have to be like, come back and check out my cat that does backflips. You know, you don't have to say that stuff in the art collection, whatever. You don't have to give them that much plausible deniability. And because of that, they will have a stigma almost 100% of the time that they are secretly slutty.
Mm.
And that is something that you have to be careful around, because on one hand, it can be really sexy in the bedroom. But as soon as it comes out into public, they freak out. They don't want anybody to know, you know. They don't want anybody to know that they really care or that that's part of who they are. And it's usually something that they're very shameful of later on in life. So if you meet these girls and it's like and you realize they're an oracle, they're not in a performer binge mode, they're just in an oracle mode, then you never judge girls for being slutty, ever, not in front of them.
Right.
You know, because if you do that, it's going to totally backfire. So you don't want to have an us bubble where you say, oh, that girl's a slut. In general, you never want to do that, because then only time you may want to do that is with a traditionalist. But even then, you don't want to do that, because you really want them to get into the state where the frame of mind where they're just kind of like, I could do that, you know?
Right.
That's the whole point of all this. Yeah. So.
So oracles, due to their sensitivity, they're usually really compassionate, although they can be manipulative.
Mm.
That definitely happens. It's very difficult to really get them. And they will know whether you really get them or not, which is something they crave, but they may be afraid of. They're going to get who you are either way.
That's kind of scary, I bet. But
a little bit,
But it's true.
It's true. They're going to tend to see things through your eyes if you establish enough rapport. So they're going to see the world the way you see it, at least when they're talking to you. And they're going to be very open to new paradigms and new worldviews. And they actually really like someone showing them a new way to look at things.
Right.
A new idea, a new concept, a new way to approach anything. Something that like kind of radically reframes their worldview, that actually is something that they love hearing about. So if you have a unique perspective on something, if you have a unique just way to approach life or way to approach anything, then that's the kind of thing they're going to be really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be very sensitive to things that you are used to hiding, and they're going to be able to pick up on feelings and beliefs that you try to hide more often than not. So,
this is one of the reasons why... sorry, I just kind of had a brain fart there. This is one of the reasons why oracles are so often basically will be sexually frustrated.
Yeah.
Until they go, that's why they are forced to go to performer mode, because they see all these fake guys being fake in their confidence, and they eventually have to go, well, you know what? I'm not going to do any better. There aren't any truly confident guys, and so they settle.
Yeah.
And this is a big fear of theirs, is that they're going to end up settling, and they most of them will just accept that they're going to be settling for the rest of their lives, and that no one's going to be good enough ever, and they couldn't see it even if it was right in front of them. They wouldn't know what an actual confident man looks like anymore, because so many guys fake it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing about oracles is they tend to be thinking about the future a lot, and they tend to be really good at predicting how things will work out. Not perfect, and they tend to believe that they are perfectly accurate about knowing how things will work out, but they're always thinking about it. So when they meet someone, within a few seconds, they have a pretty good idea of how that relationship could play out if it was pursued.
Right.
So
I like what you got here, actually, talking about them being clumsy or physically awkward sometimes.
That's another thing. Remember, oracles and performers are opposites. So performers are the most adept physically, the most in their body. Oracles are the least. So they tend to be a little clumsy. They tend to be a little physically awkward. Mm-hmm. And
this is something that they will definitely hide. For sure.
Sure.
From you. Most of the girls that you run into that are this way are going to be have some major compensation around this. And whenever they do screw something up, drop something, fall over, whatever, they get really, really, really embarrassed.
Right.
So you got to be careful around that.
Right. I actually knew an oracle that she was so clumsy. I'm not making this up, and this is not an exaggeration. She took all of the doors in her home off the hinges. Because she kept running into them. Dead serious. So most aren't to that quite that extreme, uh-huh. but all of them have a little bit of an issue around physical activity. I'm an oracle, as like I mentioned. I'm not clumsy at all, but I tend to move slow. I tend to be very careful about my movements because it's not something that comes real naturally.
Right, you're also not like a athlete either.
No, not at all.
You know, you don't focus on like athletic anything really, like you don't have an athletic outlet to your life, you know?
Right. I don't. And the irony is that my body, like my reflexes are actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it doesn't really work with the way my head works very well.
Yeah.
So
I don't have to practice a lot in order to get better at, you
exactly.
know? Or some people, you know, and some people compensate for that. You just didn't do it. You didn't compensate for it. Right.
Right.
And you may run into girls who have compensated for it. So they actually can move around and stuff, and they're pretty good at doing this. But it's just funny that the physically awkward or clumsy part of this is such a small thing that they're probably going to be insecure about, but it is such a big indicator that you're dealing with an oracle here. And again, be careful around what you say, but if you really want to make an oracle like you, then tell them the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you.
Hmm.
If you do this, it will eliminate all their fear around the things that they're embarrassed about, period, immediately. Right,
so, right, and that tends to be a long list.
Yes, exactly. And it also builds phenomenal rapport with them. And it's a really great way to build rapport. It alleviates all that stress that they have. So tell them your most embarrassing story. I know mine off the top of my head. Like, I can tell it like that because I've told it to a lot of women.
Yeah.
As soon as I recognize these qualities, I'll instantly bring that thing out because I noticed that they're really ashamed of themselves being clumsy or awkward. And if I can tell a story about myself being clumsy and awkward in a way that's really confident, it shows them they have that it's possible, that they can have faith, you know, and they believe in it all of a sudden.
Well, yeah. And on top of that, it shows them that you have accepted a part of yourself that they do not accept about themselves.
And so they see that as an opportunity then, an opportunity to grow, you know, to step into – oracles are like you say in the goddess mentality. They lead women. They are like major leaders of women And a lot of them do, and a lot of women look up to them eventually, as long as they can step into this world. A lot of women who are in this space, though, never ever do that. So they don't step into that space because they're so ashamed. And so
Don't step into what space?
the space of being a leader of women.
Gotcha.
So
So the oracles lead other women, is what you're saying.
they can turn into that. That's like their
Absolutely.
ultimate space, their
Yeah.
ultimate, like they can turn into this really powerful beacon for a lot of women. And men, actually,
Yeah.
but they hardly ever do it because they have so much shame around it, right? And you have some great examples here. Really great to go into some of those, actually.
Sure, let's talk about these quickly.
Okay.
Game of Thrones has been a show that's been pretty popular, and of course it's a book series. It's great. Catelyn Stark, one of the main characters, is an oracle.
Which one's Catelyn Stark?
Catelyn Stark is the mother of
Oh, yeah.
the Stark family.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, again, classic example. Her and you have Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah Winfrey is another real world example.
Yeah.
Hermione from the Harry Potter series is an oracle. From Star Trek: The Next Generation, Deanna Troi, the empathic counselor, is definitely an oracle. Sarah McLachlan, another good real-world
Canadian? Is she
example.
Canadian?
She's Canadian.
Freaking Canadians.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I've just gotten into the show a little bit, but Brenda Chenoweth from the show 6 Feet Under is a great example of an oracle. Fantastic. Ayn Rand, who wrote Atlas Shrugged and so on, is definitely an oracle. And Ann Coulter, conservative political commentator, is also an oracle. So, as you can see, there's quite a spread of what they're like, but the characteristics that we've talked about here, they all have in common.
Right. Okay. So that's great. Let's move into the next one.
Finally.
This is 50% of the female population, so this is going to be a big one for you guys.
Yeah, so this is the traditionalist. And as Josh just said, a full 50% of the female population falls into this category. So one out of every two women that you meet for the rest of your life is going to be a traditionalist. So this is actually where the majority of kind of the stereotypes of what women are like come from. It's not women, it's actually just traditionalists. But there's so many of them that that kind of controls our concept. Traditionalists are the least spontaneous, and they're going to be the least open to sleeping with you quickly. They're only going to be open in certain states.
Not as in states of the United States of America.
Only in Alabama and occasionally Texas will they sleep with you.
So take them all there.
Right.
No, it's not true. Don't write that down. If you did, scratch that out.
Right. Erase that. No, in certain states of being, in certain moods, in certain physical, mental, emotional
Which we'll go
states.
into that in a minute, obviously.
Traditionalists crave stability, security, safety, and status.
Right.
So they're attracted to this safety and stability. They're invested in maintaining the status quo. As we mentioned, traditionalists are the opposite of explorers. So explorers kind of like to break the rules at every opportunity. Traditionalists find it very important to do what they think they're supposed to do, and follow the rules as much as possible. Traditionalists are attracted to traditional gender roles and the moral values that they were raised with. Their family background is hugely impactful for traditionalists. So they tend to extend that out. They tend to believe that everyone is dramatically impacted or like kind of created by the family they came from.
That's an interesting note, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about them.
Yeah, traditionalists are kind of, their personality is to a large degree constructed based on their experiences.
Right.
So they tend to not be very open to new experiences because a new radical experience for them means they have to reshuffle their entire identity
Oh, yeah.
in order to account for it.
I gotcha.
So they like that occasionally. It just takes a lot of energy for them, so they rarely do it.
Right, okay.
And so that also means that their background, the family they came from, the circumstances they were raised in, is a massive part of who they are, and they
Okay.
assume the same thing is true of everyone else.
Okay, I gotcha.
So, a leverage point for them is status and social proof.
Right.
They put a lot of faith in public opinion, they crave approval, and they will be greatly influenced by their social circle.
Yes. This is the kind of thing when you do run into a traditionalist, which you're going to often, like I said.
Well, just statistically, your mom's probably a traditionalist.
Probably.
Just, literally, one out of two guys, your mom's a traditionalist because that's one out of two women, right?
Right.
So, for a lot of guys, this is what they're really into. This is what they've imprinted on as what women are supposed to be like. So, this is what they're mostly attracted to.
Right. And also, well, let's say you walk into a group of women, half of them are going to be traditionalists off the bat. Unless it's a group of oracles, which would be really strange,
Right,
or
and
whatever,
birds of a feather tend to flock together, so you're going to tend to find traditionalists clustering together and performers clustering together and so on. But just statistically, one out of two is going to be a traditionalist.
Right. Okay. So let's continue down on that path there. Let's explore these traditionalists for a little bit.
So they feel compelled to do what they're supposed to do. They feel unsafe, actually, if they don't have like a rule set that they can rely on. If they don't have a framework that is stable and solid and has stood the test of time, without those things, then they're just really, they don't know which way is up. So they tend to gravitate toward traditional gender roles. They tend to gravitate towards large organizations. They tend to gravitate towards large religions. Anything that is a large and therefore long-standing, safe, stable structure, that's what they're into. So, a lot of them work for the government. A lot of them work for banks, things like that. A lot of them go into accounting.
A lot of them
Accounting.
finish college.
A lot of them finish college, yeah.
In general, a lot of the other types will not finish college. Not that that's, I mean, I never finished college either, but I'm one of the other types, so
Right, you're an explorer.
that would make sense.
Yeah.
College is kind of made for the majority. The
It is.
majority is the traditionalist in this case,
Absolutely. Traditionalists are what we think of generally when we think of like a normal person. They are looking for home, family, career, and the white picket fence. They want kind of that version of the American dream.
This is the one that most men make the mistake of focusing all of their efforts on trying to trick the traditionalist in the bed.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's very, very, very hard to do to trick them into bed. And but the problem is that there's so many. It's kind of like saying, let's say that there is a lake, right? And half the fish in the lake are all sheephead. Sheephead, I think, are saltwater fish. Let's say it's a little
Trout.
brook. Okay, trout, whatever. No, sheephead specifically.
Okay.
So let's say that we're at a creek, whatever. Let's say half the fish in the creek are all sheephead. Sheephead are the hardest, some of the hardest fish to catch. They're really hard to catch because they nibble at your bait and then they take off with it. They don't ever bite the hook. They don't just bite it
Gotcha.
immediately. They don't get greedy, So they're really hard to catch, right? So it's what we do as men on accident is we go, "Well, shit, I want to go for those because there's so many of them,"
Right.
right? And we don't realize that they're the hardest ones to get into bed. So what happens? Every guy gets super sexually frustrated because he's trying to go after these traditionalists, and then he becomes the nice guy.
Right.
Because we see these traditionalists and we go, obviously it's a majority, so I need to appeal to these girls. And the way that I do that is I give them stability. I give them an emotional shoulder to cry on. I give them all the things they say they want, right?
Well, and what they want is to get married.
Right.
That's what they're looking
At
for
the end of the day.
at the end of the day. Now, they might not be into it if they're trying to focus on their career, they're trying to become self-sufficient and so on. A lot of women avoid getting too wrapped up in any one guy until they feel like they have that handled and they feel safe. But aside from that possibility, they want to get married.
Right. So what a lot of guys do is they try to bait women into the bedroom with the idea that they're the love of their lives, right? And this is where the classic like rake or manipulative kind of man, the player, quote unquote, this is what the player's game is. The player gets laid more often than some other guys do because they go, no, don't try to appeal to what they want. Just tell them that you are what they want. What they really want, which is to get married to the man of their dreams, right? Just tell them that you are that guy, and they'll believe it because they want it so bad, right? So this is what they do. They end up going, end up lying to these girls and tricking them into bed. Now the bad thing about that, just as far as like, besides all the personal crap that I have against that, right? Which is lying to women. But besides all that, which I never do and didn't do, I'm not gonna say that I've. I'm not gonna say I've never lied to a girl before, because I'm sure I have at some point. But when I started getting good at this, I made a point not to do that at all. Because why would I make it easier? I'm trying to make it harder for myself. You know, after I found out, actually, after I discovered the black book technique, which is a technique that I use to get girls' phone numbers really fast, I realized that there are some techniques that are crutches and that I can't use too much, because if I use too much, I'll never do anything else.
Right.
You know, I'll be a one-trick pony then.
Which is an explorer trait.
Aha, that makes sense.
Explorers want to figure out everything that works. So once they find one thing that works really well, they'll generally stop doing that.
Right. I put that aside. I don't want to be. I don't want to be owned by that.
Right.
You know.
Right, you don't want to be tied down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, right? This stuff goes really deep. It's kind of freaky.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, what I was trying to, kind of, the point I was trying to make here with the traditionalist is that ultimately, whenever you meet one and you see, you know exactly how to get her in bed, she's practically telling you exactly what you need to say to make her think that you're the one so that she can have sex, because a lot of them are pent up. Right, they have sexual aggression because they don't get laid as much as they really want to.
Yeah,
you know, and they feel bad about it, and so they end up jumping into long term relationships immediately, and so they have these opinions of men. I mean, New York is full of traditionalists, who are very frustrated, you know. And anyway, the point is, and we'll get into how to attract them in just a second, but the point is, you do not want to do what every other guy does, which is try to trick them into bed. Because it will work. That's the problem. Will work. You will get them into bed. And it's really easy to do, to get them into bed, if you lie to them.
Mm.
Right? So that's the problem, is that men have figured this out. And so they will lie to these girls. And these are usually not the most desirable women in the world, though I see definitely there are some that are amazing, like Heidi Klum, obviously, is Tyra Banks. I mean, there's just some very amazing models, so maybe I shouldn't say that. But generally speaking, in the regular population, like regular girls, the ones that are interested in this sort of thing...
Since there's so many of them, they're going to kind of span the entire spectrum. There's going to be a lot that are really attractive. There's going to be a lot that aren't. There's going to be a lot that are normal.
Right. So the more often than not, you're going to see these girls trying to blend in which case they don't really try to... they don't try to get your attention, right? So they're just going to kind of go by as a blur, right? And these are the kind of girls that, as the night goes on and guys get a little bit more shameless and they get drunker, these are the kind of girls that men are like black flies to shit around. Mm. I mean, they're just constantly circling these girls trying to land and trying to like pick them up while they're drunk and their inhibitions are low, right? I found the most intelligent and effective way to attract a traditionalist is to bring up polyamory in a way that sounds traditional.
Interesting.
So instead of going, instead of focusing all on how the exploration of how sort of new it is, right? How physically stimulating it is. So let's go over these different types, right? Physically stimulation.
Well, I want to mention one thing, because that's, I think it's going to play into what you're talking about somewhat. Oracles are the opposite of performers, and they have this kind of performer binge that they do every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, traditionalists are the opposite of explorers, so they're going to have an explorer binge that they go into every now and then.
Right.
Similar patterns, similar reasons behind it.
Right. So when you do see that, a traditionalist in that binge, then you see, for example, Girls Gone Wild is like 99% of girls like this.
Completely.
They're in that binge state, and there are traditionalists.
Yeah. That's another thing that's going to be... you were about to say something. I don't want to derail that. But another thing about traditionalists is that if they're in a situation, and we'll get to that a little bit when we talk about frames, if they're in a situation where it is quote-unquote acceptable to kind of behave badly, like mm-hmm. you're at a bachelorette party or you're on your Vegas vacation or it's mm-hmm. spring break in Cabo or whatever, then they'll do stuff they would never normally do, mm-hmm. and they'll feel fine about it.
Right. We don't have any regrets about it at all.
Right.
Right.
Well, I mean, they'll feel a little guilty, but it was Vegas, you know?
Right, exactly. So so let's talk a little bit about these different types for a second and kind of how what I was kind of getting to earlier. Mm-hmm. When you what was I actually talking about there? I think I may have lost that conversation.
You were talking about...
Memory is not my strong suit.
Yeah. You were talking about... suggest bringing up the topic of polyamory way that sounds traditional.
Right, exactly. So for performers, you're going to bring up polyamory in a way that is all about the physical experience of being pleased in a way that is not needy, right? That is purely by somebody who has a lot of experience, you know, and obviously by somebody who has a lot of experience with in your case, you may be explaining how you love that with women, that they have a lot of experience, right? Because they don't have any of that emotional baggage, whatever it is. And so you may bring it up, and all the good points about polyamory you may talk about in the vein of how physically exciting it is. For an explorer, you may talk about how no one does this, and only certain kinds of people can, right? And this kind of gets them in a more competitive state, and it gets them into that exploratory state, right?
Yep.
It's something that's brand new, and there's no jealousy. It's like all these really great things, right?
Well, yeah, they're going to be attracted to it a little bit in general because it's non-traditional. It's a new concept.
Exactly. And you can also, you know, you never want to put this on something like for explorers, you never want to say, actually, cultures have been doing this for thousands of years. You don't want to say that.
Right.
You actually want to say, you know, we've evolved we've evolved into people.
Could work with explorers.
It could.
But, yeah.
We've evolved into people who, some of us, are able to handle this. And if you ever meet a guy who is able to handle that, then I think you should go for it because he's going to be really rare, right? So as you say this, she's going to notice that her options are limiting to zero if she doesn't hook up with you, which
right.
is going to freak her out, right? So want to have to do it in that moment. Same thing with oracles, but similarly with oracles. When you explain the polyamory concept, you're going to touch a lot more on how honest it is, right? How real it is. How there's no jealousy involved. How there is a sincere focus on making the other person happy. You know, that kind of thing. And that really, you don't want to talk too much about the other girls with an oracle because she'll feel alienated again unless she meets them. And she likes them, right? Then you can talk about it.
Oracles need to feel special.
Right, exactly. So you want to be careful, a little bit careful around that. Some of them will have a knee-jerk reaction, but they're also going to be very excited about the idea in general because of all the benefits of being open.
Yeah. Even if an oracle, like, completely shoots the idea down, they're going to be thinking about it for quite a while.
They'll probably still sleep with you. That's the
very
point.
Very possible, yeah.
And they'll probably come back later, and they'll probably just want to know that you're not going to use them. Right?
Right.
And as long as you feel totally comfortable with it, they'll go with you. And then finally, the traditionalist, the way you want to bring it up in this case is you may want to cite concepts from, you know, different environments or circumstances in the past where it was very powerful. You may want to focus a lot more on how it's worked for you and It's a novel experience, right? In this case, they may be in that moment where they're ready to hear that it's a novel experience. But more so, traditionalists actually will be the ones who shoot the idea down more than any other type, right? But as long as you're a confident-looking guy, they'll find that kind of a turn-on that you have other girlfriends. Though, they may eventually and very quickly decide that they don't want to be with you long-term. And that's why with traditionalists, the way I bring it up, almost across the board with them, is I say, look, I think you're really cool, and I think you're super cute, and I am sexually attracted to you. I'm not your future husband, though, and you're not my future wife. And I think it's silly for us not to hang out at least for a little while, because I think I can learn a lot from you, and I think you can learn a lot from me. I have a lot to teach you and a lot to show you and a lot to experience with you, you know? I think that we should just hang out and see what happens, right? So to them, it's like you're using words that are a lot more focused around the tradition, like hang out and just see what happens. It doesn't really matter. And you're being super upfront about it. And that's really what you have to do. You have to bring it a lot more to, like, you'll get this question a lot. So you never want to get married then, right? And you go, no, it's not that. I will someday, right? And I think you probably will too. But I don't want to, what if you're with me and I'm not your perfect man? I'm not. What if you're with me and you meet your perfect man? You're going to have to leave me for this guy. You may not do it. He may pass you by. He may walk right by you. And the one man in the world that you want to be with, that you've been looking for your entire life, walks right by you and doesn't look twice. And it never happens. Because you are in a relationship with somebody that you know you're not going to marry. Right? Why do that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're basically putting her fear of being alone forever at rest. Because now she's like, okay, well, look, I can be with you, and I can still look out for this guy. And you'll introduce me to guys, right? You'll be like, look, I'll introduce you to all my friends. If you, you know, if there's any guy that I can think of that would be awesome, I'll introduce you. You know, that kind of thing. So this is kind of the way that I bring it up. Though, I want to be very clear that whenever you do explain this to people, to women in particular, that you don't, you can't want to sleep with her. You can want to sleep with her. Let me actually rephrase that. You can't need to sleep with her. You can want to, but you can't like try to convince her that it's something she should do. You know, girls like traditionalists will only step into that world and follow you down that path and be polyamorous with you when they feel like it is in their best interest, generally speaking. And they would never say polyamorous. They would just say that they're single after that to all the rest of their friends.
Right.
You know, and you just be a guy that they hook up with every once in a while, which is totally acceptable.
Right. So another part of this is going to be really important is discretion.
Right.
They're going to need to know that this is not going to negatively impact their social standing because that's something they really care about.
Right. And one way you can do that, you can assure them that that's the case, is by putting zero implication around what it is that you're doing. You don't go, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. You don't say that. You don't say, we're in an open relationship. You don't say that. You don't say that we're swingers. These are all things that are outside of her world, right? That don't, that.
Right, and that she's probably already decided are icky.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't bring those things up. Other girls would be okay with that, you know, in particular explorers, things like that,
right,
would be more excited about the idea of trying that out. They wouldn't want to be that thing forever because that limits their options.
Right.
But they would want to try it out, step into it, take a sip, right?
Yeah, play a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to just take a sip with them. That's what you want to do.
Right.
But in this case, you're saying, you know, no, let's, you know, I'm not the perfect man for you. You're not the perfect woman for me. You know, I usually just leave out the "you're not the perfect woman for me" part, by the way. just so you know, I'm not the perfect man for you, and I want you to be ready when that man shows up. He may even be a friend of mine, you know. So I can't date you exclusively, but I think you're super cute, and I would like to hang out with you a little bit and just talk to you and hang out and do whatever, right? I am polyamorous, so I have a lot of girlfriends, so I don't need another girlfriend. This is usually the best way to frame that. So I don't need another girlfriend, but I would like to hang out with you. Okay, he'll hang out with you. That's it. You know, as soon as they feel like you're a fuck buddy, and that's okay, some guy you hook up with every once, that she hooks up with every once in a while, you're in. You don't need to worry about it. But these girls will get jealous eventually from time to time if they get really into you, or they can tend to have the desire of trying to change your mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, let's not forget, ultimately, at the end of the day, they want a family, they want a marriage, they want a stable home.
Right.
So that's their trajectory. That's where they're headed in life. And if they feel a real connection with you, they're going to want to try to make you fit that with them.
And a lot of these women are attracted to the traditional attractive male jobs or like roles, like firemen, policemen.
Yeah, if you fit any traditional male gender role, then that they're going to be into that.
Exactly.
So let's talk about a couple examples real quick. Like kind of the most perfect example of the traditionalist is Martha Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of built her whole empire around being a traditionalist. So that's a fantastic example. Mm-hmm. Some of these others are a little less obvious, but they still fall in line. And I picked these examples not for hotness necessarily, but to give you an idea.
I hope not.
Yeah, right. To give you an idea of what the mindset is like, because that's what we're talking about here. So Martha Stewart's one. So is Tyra Banks, obviously a model, very attractive. Sarah Palin,
another model,
not right? Jennifer Aniston is a traditionalist. Heidi Klum is another one. Judge Judy is like super clearly traditionalist, as well as Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Not necessarily two examples that most guys are into, but they'll give you a good idea of kind of the mindset of this type of people.
All I heard was Tyra Banks, Jennifer Aniston, and Heidi Klum.
And then blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and then everything else was a blur.
And let's not forget your mom.
Your mom, right. And I didn't hear that part either,
yeah,
as far as you're concerned.
Yeah. So that's the four basic types that you'll encounter. Performers, oracles, explorers, and traditionalists, which put together spells poet. Now, keep in mind, oracles and explorers are, oracles and performers are opposites. Explorers and traditionalists are opposites.
So it's every other one.
Right. And here's the other thing. Oracles and explorers get each other. They're the best for, like, that just kind of chemistry where you like really appreciate the other person. And then performers and traditionalists are really good together. They both really love the kind of different take on things that the other brings, but it's still close enough that it totally makes sense, and they usually get along really well. So if you're an oracle or an explorer, then look for an oracle or explorer. If you're a performer or a traditionalist, ideally look for another performer or a traditionalist.
Right. So if you're a traditionalist as a guy, you have a lot of options, and of course, you can learn how to attract any one of these girls,
Yeah,
of
you can go
course.
for any of these. And
Right.
just you're going to be probably most happy in the long run with if you're a traditionalist, a performer, or another
Right.
traditionalist.
So keep that in mind as you're polyamorous and you start to see these girls pop in as girls that you're dating. The ones that are going to stick out a little bit more are going to be not the opposites of what you are. But the one that has nothing to do with what you are. For example, in this case, oracles and explorers aren't related in really any way. I mean, they're not the opposite of an oracle is a performer.
Right.
The opposite of an explorer in this case would be a traditionalist, and they are related in their own way. So they're familiar with both those extremes. They've gone, a performer or let's say an oracle has gone to the performer state every once in a while,
Right.
and she's seen the traditionalist, but that's not. That's a dormant state, just like the oracle is. The traditionalist goes to, in times of stress, can have a binge, The performer doesn't have a binge, really. They don't really have a binge of oracle,
They do, but it's not really relevant here. For
Right.
them, it looks weird. They tend to get paranoid, and they tend to like get superstitious.
Okay, right. Okay, so yeah, so it's not going to be helpful,
It's not helpful.
at least in this case. So you're going to go to the, you're going to go basically off the grid there and find the type of girl on this poet system that is kind of has nothing to do with your type. In my case, I'm an explorer with an oracle and I'm happy in a monogamous relationship, right? But as you're polyamorous, you're going to start noticing that whatever your type is, if you're a traditionalist, you're going to notice that the performers stand out more. If you're a performer, you're going to notice that traditionalist men stand out more in your mind, or performers, right? And if you're an oracle, you're going to see the explorers and other oracles. And if you're an explorer, you're going to see, again, the oracles or other explorers. So that's the best way to do that. If you want to write that down, by the way, just write down oracles and explorers equal good, performers and traditionalists equal good, right? And then that way you know what to look for.
Absolutely. Now, the last thing I'll mention is that the opposites are a little bit of a leverage point too.
Okay.
The traditionalists and the explorers are opposites, and as you mentioned, traditionalists have a little bit of explorer in them, but it's something they're kind of uncomfortable with. It's vulnerable, and something that they don't really bring out into the light very often. But it's part of who they are. It's a kind of a need that they've got. They just don't know how to address it. So they're going to crave a small amount of their opposite in their kind of more tender, vulnerable moments. So, in other words, when they're having sex. But they can't provide it for themselves. So if you can provide it for them without overdoing it, then they're gonna like just absolutely love that, and you're gonna have a special place in their heart. So for the oracles, they need like carnal sensuality. They need a little bit of that. They need to just like be in their bodies, and that's something they have a really difficult time doing for themselves. So if you can get them in their body and experiencing, whatever, then they'll love that. For explorers, they're so out there all the time, they're just trying so much stuff. They need a little comfort and a little safety and security. Again, you don't want to overdo this. You just kind of want to pepper it in a tiny bit. And then the traditionalists, they want some adventure. They are kind of craving that. They're kind of craving breaking the rules and breaking from tradition. Again, they're going to be too scared to do it a lot. Just a tiny bit is what they want. And then the performers, part of them wants something deeper. Part of them wants something that has more profound meaning. So this is probably going to be a little more difficult to work into the bedroom, but just know that that's part of who they are, and it's something that they're going to be looking for. And if you can provide it for them, at least a little bit, then they'll love it.
Right. Okay, great. Well, let's go through the rest of these six elements here, six factors that we've sort of talked about earlier, and let's sort of we're going to breeze through them because I know we've been going a little bit longer than we expected here.
Right.
But more importantly, we got the most, like we said, 50% was what we just talked about, is understanding the type, and the rest of this you'll kind of get pretty quickly.
Yeah, the personality type thing is kind of new information. A lot of this other stuff you're going to be a little familiar with already, so it's helpful to keep in mind. But the big leverage point is personality type.
Okay, let me lead off a state here. State is essentially, you're going to be thinking about the sort of all the factors in their lives that make them who they are, is going to be state, essentially. In that moment, though, it's in a microcosm. It's not like in a major way, as in, like, they are right wing or left wing or whatever. That's not what you're talking about here. Instead, you're going to be talking about things like horny, lonely, excited, connected, sort of wanting to escape or as an escapist or rebellious. These are mental states of mind. And this is what will absolutely influence the type that it is that you're dealing with. Again, certain states or certain types in the poet system have particular states that help them the most, right?
Yeah.
That they're going to be most excited about.
So when an oracle is in their performer binge, they're going to kind of be escapist. They're going to be trying to escape some reality that they don't want to see.
Right.
When the traditionalists are in their explorer binge, they're going to be kind of feeling rebellious,
Right.
and they're going to be wanting to, go against the rules that they normally follow so closely. So
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the standards, though, too. When they're not in the binges, when they're just kind of as they are.
sure, that's just an example of
Right.
how some states are more impactful for certain types than others.
Exactly.
But yeah, let's talk about normal states. So, people are going to be more, women are going to be more open when they're excited, when something exciting just happened, like, say they're really into sports and, your guys' team just won a major game.
Right.
Something along those lines. Maybe, I don't know, wedding, something that gets them really excited. They're going to be more open there. They're going to be more open if they feel really connected to you. So in states of rapport, obviously that can backfire too. So it's
Right, you
depends on
gotta
how
be
you
careful.
handle
Right.
it. Horny, obviously, if woman's horny, then she's going to be a lot more open to sleeping with you than at other times, and that's going to happen from time to time depending on her cycle.
Now, the important thing to know about state is that it actually is a leverage point, meaning that you can control, to some degree, what state she's in. Now, a lot of that has to do with body language. If you walk up to her and she's in an excited state, sometimes it's easier to take her to certain places. Like, for example, you can take a performer from excited to horny really relatively quickly. Can you take a performer from excited to connected easily? No, not so much. Can you take her from
Right.
excited to lonely? You wouldn't want to do that, but no, it's not so easy to do. So as you're doing this and as you find the state that they're currently in, you can find a nearby state, meaning something that's kind of related in some kind of way. For example, you walk up, she's pensive, she's thinking about something that she's really trying to figure out. Well, from there, curious is a really easy state to take her to,
Yep.
right? She's trying to figure something out. It's an easy jump from trying to understand something to being curious about something, right? So instead of jumping straight from pensive or trying to figure something out, kind of that mentality, straight to horny, which doesn't really work, you have to kind of paint a path, right? You paint this little road, and she follows this path all the way there. So wherever you're trying to get her to, which in most cases is going to be horny, right?
Right, that's the destination.
Right, for most of us, especially with this, is you want to take her from wherever she is slowly from maybe a negative or quiet or connected state over to more of an excited state, to more of a physical state, eventually to a sexual state, right? And if they're already in a sexual state, you can get this ha this can happen like that. If you walk up and she's already horny, then it'll happen really fast, right? But you won't know what state she's in until you start to watch the way she responds to you as a man. Women that are typically really horny do a couple of things that you wouldn't expect them to do. Instead of like biting their lip and watching you, which you see them do in movies all the time, right? Instead, what they typically do is get really bitchy, which doesn't seem. It seems counterintuitive, right? It seems like that's not really what they should be doing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so whenever they're really horny, oftentimes they're trying to over filter men because they're afraid they're going to go home with some douchebag who's not very powerful as a man. So they start to over filter, and that's when they start to be bitchy because they know that the men who can deal with them being bitchy are very few. So they know that they narrow down the amount of guys that are going to be likely they're going to go home with because they have no control because they're so horny, they'll go home with anybody. So they start to overfilter. So you wouldn't expect that, right? You'd expect that they would be all over you and like all sexual and touching you and grabbing your crotch, but they don't do that. They don't do that whenever they're horny. Instead, they typically will begin to be a little bit confrontational and a little bit aggressive and maybe even a little bit insulting at times because they're turned on and they don't want to go home with you because they don't know you. So they'll just try to push you away. They give you all sorts of tests to get through this. So the women that test you more are women that are hornier. So most guys don't know this, and they go to a girl, up to a girl, she starts being mean, and what do? Freak out, feel rejected, and leave, right? Or get mad, right? And like attack them mentally or, you know, psychologically attack them verbally as well. And it's just, that's not what you want, you know? You want to embrace that process. So you want to take them, if you take them that to the place of horniness while you're in, like, rapport, and of course the process of going from attraction, rapport, to seduction is the process of cleaning whatever state they're currently in and then pushing them to sex, to sexual, to horny, right? That's what you do. And you do it in a way that gets them out of whatever their current state is and you push them through a proven process. So as you go through attraction, rapport, seduction, and then eventually to relationship balance, that is how you control state. You use that process. You watch where they currently are, and then you take them through that process step by step until they're eventually turned on. So that's what state is.
Awesome. So the next factor is the values and beliefs that the person has. So values and beliefs are a combination of their personality type as well as their background. This is really personal. This is really hard to influence in a short amount of time. You can kind of frame things like we talked about a little bit with like polyamory and so on.
We will talk about framing in a minute. And framing and values and beliefs do really connect to each other really closely.
But, you know, this is something that is very helpful in pre-selection. You can tell a lot about a person's values and beliefs just by observing them. Mm-hmm. Their dress, their grooming, whether they have tattoos and piercings and so on, whether they're trying to look normal, whether they're kind of, you know, trying to fit in with everybody else, or whether they're trying to stand out. That's going to tell you a lot about where they are, where they're coming from here. And basically what you're looking for is openness. Openness to a novel experience and a little bit of a non-traditional dress.
Right, and you may see a traditionalist that's in that state of her values and beliefs of herself is that she's not easy to get in bed, blah, 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 right? She'll have all these beliefs. The way that you control this or you influence this as a man is during the stage of qualification.
Right.
During the qualifying stage where you are getting her to chase you and you're saying something that is about her that you like about her, right? You almost always want to go for open, right? Something that's open to new experiences. So there's something called the question – or not questions qualifier because that's a – that's an easy one. Let's go into a more advanced one, which is the self-fulfilling prophecy qualifier. This is where you say something about a girl that you just met and that you haven't seen yet, right? You've seen her, but you haven't seen the quality that you're about to say, right? So you may say, you know, there are a lot of girls in here, and depending on who you're talking to, you may frame this qualifier a little bit differently, right? If you're talking to a traditionalist, you may make her seem like she is more of like toward the one, right? I mean, I might be careful with that, obviously, but you want to talk more about relationship, like that kind of thing, you know, and something that's stable, that kind of thing, instead of going off the deep end and saying, okay, well, there are a lot of girls here, and for some reason you're different, right? You may use that with certain kinds of girls, but you may not use that with every girl. So, but I'll just imagine that I'm talking to, give me a type in the poet system.
Performer.
Okay. So I'm talking to a performer and I notice she's a performer because of all the actions that she has. Like she's, you know, the way she's moving, who she's talking to, the way she's talking to them, the way she's dressed, things like that. I may walk up to her and say, you know what? You're a lot of fun, right? That might be the first thing I say. You're a lot of fun and I'm having a great time. This is badass. You know, so many girls are just like not willing to have a good time, you know? And I get the feeling that you're just so open to trying new experiences, and that makes me feel really comfortable. Now, as soon as you say this, like if you say it the same way I just said it, you're open to trying. I get the feeling that you're open to trying new experiences, and that makes me feel really comfortable and happy. Like I'm cool with it too. You know, all of a sudden she's got all the things she's never been able to have. Right? She's been able to build rapport with you, and you've accepted her for something, and it's happened like that, and she didn't have to try. Right? She's a performer. Right? She's always had to try. You know, and you say that, as soon as you say that, she will become open because as soon as she accepts that, rather. If she goes, thank you, or awesome, or thanks for saying, or whatever it is, right? Or go, yeah. Or as long as she doesn't go, no, that's totally not me at all. I'm not open. And she's serious, right? If she's seriously saying that to you, then it didn't work. It backfired. And probably she didn't say that because you didn't demonstrate enough value. You didn't build enough attraction in the beginning, right, to be able to do that. So you just go back to the beginning, build some more attraction, then try it again, basically. But in any given case, you're going to be framing your qualifier to speak to her with her certain personality type on the poet system, depending on which type she is, whichever avatar she is. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to suggest that you feel comfortable because she's open to trying new things. Whenever you do that, she'll automatically be open to trying new things.
Right.
And that's how you control her values and beliefs in a split second. The problem with that is that it wears off. Right?
Right.
It wears off eventually, and you have to reinforce it, or you have to build rapport, or you have to change your mind. You have to do something later. This is going to get hard later once you do this, right? So keep that in mind. The easiest girls to do this with are explorers, because they already are open to trying new things.
Totally.
So you don't have to worry about anything, yep. Right? But everyone else has got to get into that frame of mind, at least for a little bit. And, of course, traditionalists are going to definitely fall in this category because that's the area they go to when they're trying to be a little bit rebellious.
Right.
You know? Okay, continue.
So, yeah. So a person's religion, you know, whether they feel like they need to be a good girl, what that means to them and someone's is all going to be part of that. And as we just discussed, that is something you can definitely influence. Mm-hmm. The next factor is circumstances. And this is something that is only a little bit within your control and not really a leverage point, but it's worth mentioning. So circumstances are like, you know, if she's on her period, she's probably not going to want to sleep with anybody.
Right. She might suck your dick, though.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, which would be totally fine.
Yeah. If there's a prior commitment, like an appointment or, you know, got to get on an airplane in an hour, right? Mm-hmm. Things like that, again, they're going to decrease the likelihood.
Right. You were saying before that these – oh, wait, you were talking about logistics, I think, with this part. But you were saying that it won't be the reason why you are successful, but it will it can cause you to be a failure. At this.
Right.
And I think circumstances are a little bit similar in that way, that they're kind of out of your control. You know, just because she's, you know, not on her period
right.
doesn't mean you're going to sleep with her.
Right.
Right. But if she is on her period, it could mean that as you go for her and you try to go down her pants, she pulls your hand away.
Right.
You know, and that could happen often. You know.
Right. So this is, you know, there are circumstances. There are things that are largely beyond your control. The next point is logistics. Very similar circumstances, but the difference is logistics are things that you can control. So this is like, you know, where are you going to have sex? Do you have condoms with you? Are, you know, the things that are kind of the support structure handled?
Right. Where are you going to go afterwards?
How are you going to get there? Do you have transportation? Do you know? Right. Yeah.
How far away is it? How's she going to get back in the morning? You know, that kind of thing. And you never really want to talk about these things with her.
You want to just have them handled.
Exactly. You just want to have them done, right? Even if she's like, well, how am I going to get back? You just go, I'll take you. Whatever it is. Just pick, don't worry about it. Let's go. I'll take you. I'll take care of in the morning. Don't worry about it. Let's just hang out. And then if you want to leave before, if you're talking to an explorer or performer, you may want to say, well, if you want to leave before, then we'll go somewhere else. It's not a big deal. Right? Yeah, everything has to be cool. And to a traditionalist, you have to have already thought about all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
With logistics, it's good to just think about this ahead of time and have it handled.
Have a condom in your wallet and change it every few weeks because as you keep it in your wallet, it'll eventually break through. It'll kind of wear through.
Right.
And then it'll break whenever you're wearing it. So that kind of defeats the purpose. So always keep one in your pocket or in your wallet when you go out. I know that might sound kind of silly or hopeful to a lot of people, but when I started doing it, I got laid more. Because logistics weren't stopping it from happening.
Right.
You know? So definitely do that.
So, yeah. Just handle it. That's all.
The end. So next.
The next factor is you.
This is a big one.
Obviously that's a big one. Yeah.
I think that we don't need to talk about this too much, though, because I cover this so much more in other areas. But,
right.
But, yeah, if you aren't on top of your shit, for example, if you're having a bad day, if you just lost a bunch of value, like you just lost your job or something, you may be down on yourself. This is all sorts of stuff. The way you're dressing, the emotional reactions that you have to different circumstances, things like that can all affect this in a really major way. You don't need to worry about that right now, because this is something that you want to focus on fully. Every day of your life, you're focusing on yourself already, right? You have to be getting better with not just at attracting women, but be a better man in general, a more attractive man every day of your life. And as long as you're doing that, you're fine. You don't have to worry about the you part. You'll be great. And every day you'll get better. So if I only had one rule to give you as a guy, it would be more attractive tomorrow than you are today. And be more attractive today than you ever have been in your life. And we can do that as men because it's not all about appearance for us. It's about how savvy we are. You know, you literally become more valuable as a man as you get older. We're an appreciating asset as a rate, as a gender. You know, it's not probably not fair, you know, but it's just, you know, whatever.
Lots of things aren't fair.
Life isn't fair, you know? But that's one of the things we have going for us. I think it's great. Women tend to be depreciating assets, where as their looks start to deteriorate, they lose value, you know? So we have this better. Every day that you're alive, you actually are more attractive than you were the day before, you know?
You've accumulated more experience, you've accumulated more wisdom, you've accumulated more power.
Right, exactly. You know, so and this is very attractive to women, and they're not as attracted to looks as men are. We are attracted very much to looks, and women are just kind of SOL when it comes to that. It's either you're hot or you're not hot. You're either hot or you really know how to move your body, or you've got some really cool thing about you that some guys can look past. But if you're like 900 pounds as a woman, there are certain guys that love that, you know. But that's as far as that stops. Other than that, you're like a moped
Yeah,
and.
and I've noticed most women that are a little bigger, a lot of times they're just not into the guys that like
Exactly.
that.
Exactly. Okay, so we'll go on to the final of the seven elements here.
The final factor is frame.
Right.
And frame is basically the story that you're in right then and there.
Right, and this is really powerful because you can't, like I said before, you get into a frame battle when you meet somebody. This is your reality. Meaning, if in your reality, in your world, you believe that every woman wants your cock, right? You truly believe this. And you walk up to a girl, and in her world, she believes that she'll never meet a man that is more promiscuous than she is. She believes that, right? And you guys meet each other. And only one frame can exist. When two people meet, one frame exists and the other does not. One absorbs the other always. It always does. And during that time, you have something called a frame battle. And the most desirable frame wins, always, depending on, you know, no matter what it is. It's just the most desirable for both people wins. And if you have a frame that she wants to believe in, then she will drop hers and join yours, right? So in this case, she may go, oh, well, this guy might be that guy. Therefore, I would rather be one of the girls that wants his cock, right? Because this guy might be more promiscuous than I am. And I want to explore that and see, right? You may have a frame that every woman wants to talk to you, right? And then a traditionalist would believe that if every woman wants to talk to you, then you must be a very valuable man. You must have a lot of options for women, and you must have a lot of security as a man. You must be very desired. If you're desired by women a lot, it probably means that you're successful, right? So they'll make these connections, and they'll want to be with you. They'll probably look to see if other guys are also respecting you before they do that, but the more social proof you build with a traditionalist, the better it is, right? So what I want to talk about real quick with frame is kind of give you a 1-2 punch that gives you a way to enter an environment, attract all the traditionalists immediately, first from what you're doing, then switch over and attract the performers, because they're going to be the second ones that are easiest to talk to spot. Then attract the explorers, and then attract the oracles, piece by piece.
Yeah, well, that's basically just an order of how many there are in the population.
Right, exactly. And statistically speaking, you're going to run into these in that order, so you need to handle it in that way.
Absolutely.
Right. So let's take the just to kind of get this out. The first thing I do whenever I walk into an environment is create a social proof environment. Create social proof around me. That means that I want to make people my friend immediately. And I want to make people like me immediately, and I want to know the bartender's name immediately so I can say their name and introduce them to people. I will then immediately turn into this connector, this ambassador, this guy who just says, "Have you met this guy? Have you met this guy?" And for the first 15, 20 minutes, all I'm doing is integrating with everybody, right? That's all I'm doing. I'm not trying to attract any women. While I'm doing this, I'm attracting half the room, right? 50% of the women in the place, statistically speaking, are going to be attracted to me doing that, right? They don't even know that I just met these guys. They think that I've already known everybody.
Right. And that's the power. You just look like the social hub.
Exactly. And the social hub is what the traditionalists are attracted to. They want that because they know that if you're a social hub, that you have social power.
Yeah.
And you have social proof. And they know that they can trust you, right? They think they can, at least. So that's the first thing I do. Then, when you spot the performers, right? So as you're doing this, half the room will be attracted to you. When that happens, the traditionalists will start coming toward you and finding you. They'll start wanting to talk to you. As soon as that happens, turn to the performers and leverage your damn attraction, right? All these traditionalists are now all over you trying to get in your – not really get in your pants yet, but they're trying to get your attention. And the performers –
they want to be noticed.
Oh, yeah. They want to be noticed by you. And the performer looks over and sees another guy that's – a guy that's like her that is getting shitloads of attention and can have any woman he wants in the place. Who do you think they want? They right. want you.
They're competitive.
They're competitive. They want you immediately. Explorers are also a bit competitive as well. The performers are really going to be competing for you, right? They're going to be competing for you immediately. So then they'll come all over you too, right? They're trying to get all over you. If at that
they'll
point
come all over you,
they'll come all over you. It's a lot of you'll be beating them off. It's a lot of strange.
It's a messy bar.
So the performers come over. Now you have traditionalists and performers. When the performers join, if you pay attention to the performers, you pretty much cut off all the traditionalists immediately, because now they're like, oh, this guy's going to go after that girl,
right?
They don't want to compete. You know, they will. They're like, okay, well, I'll just go for another guy, right? But they're always.
Well, if he doesn't think I'm special, then
right. But they're always going to be there.
Oh yeah,
they'll be there waiting.
They're not going away
in case things screw up. So don't worry about it. You're good. You can't. You've already raised the bar there, right? You've attracted the performers. Now they're fleeting. They're a lot of work if you want to keep them excited. So if you want to choose one, choose her. If not, fucking leave, right? Leave that place. Don't be around the performer. Because the more she sees you do your thing, the more she's going to want you, you know? And she'll flirt with other guys trying to get you jealous as well. Just even if you don't even notice it, she'll start to do that, you know? So let her go do her thing for a little while. I usually do that. I usually attract them at first and then go, you know, as they're kind of coming on to me, I might go, look, we have all night for this. Let's have a little fun first and let's meet up in a little while. That's it. You know, and they go, okay. And it's like, it's our little game, right? It's our competition, right? I bet I could pick up more chicks than you can guys. That always gets them going, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's a competition they can't conceive of having lost.
Right.
But if they do, that means that you are one in a million.
Right. And it doesn't matter if they lose or win.
Right.
Because they're doing it all for you.
Yeah.
And you win regardless.
Yeah.
Win-win. I like that, yeah. You know? So next, for explorers... In this case, so you've already got all the traditionalists attracted to you in the place. 50% of the places are attracted to you. All the performers are now attracted to you too, right? So now you've got to enter the space of the explorer. The explorer, in this case, you're going to connect with when you start to slow down a little, right? When you're kind of surrounded by women and there's lots of people around you, and you see one that you want to talk to because there's something about her, right? You're going to then try to figure out whether or not she is of the remaining types. Let's say she's an explorer or an oracle. You'll probably notice she's a traditionalist already because she'll be all over you in the beginning. And if you're just looking to screw whoever, you'll probably, you know, go through the first 15, 30 minutes of this and then bounce, right? Or as soon as you get the performers attracted to you, you'll take them to the bathroom, you know? What I love to do personally was get the traditionalists attracted, get the performers attracted, and then go for the explorers almost across the board, because I felt like it was easier for me anyway, because I already had those tendencies. I have those. I'm an explorer, you know?
Yeah, you're on the same page.
Exactly. So things were really simple for me, and I had so much to fall back on in case something went wrong that I would just – it wouldn't be a big deal, right?
Right.
So let's talk a little about that for a second. As you are – you have all these options in the bar. You've got the traditionalists. You've got the performers. The way that you attract the explorers is to do something called holding court. Holding court is where you talk to a group of people at the same time. Now, within that group, you've got 50% of those girls in the group are traditionalists, and they're attracted to you already. So they're giving you positive body language.
How do you do that in a bar?
Okay.
so that people can hear you.
Okay, so in an environment where it's really loud, you would be doing most of this work with body language,
Gotcha.
right? So instead of holding court verbally, where you're talking to a bunch of people, you're then flirting with a group of people at the same time. The easiest way to do that is to go into a group of girls and find the one farthest away from you, facing you. Someone you'd have to walk through everybody to get to. This is typically not going to be a performer and typically not going to be a traditionalist anyway. So find somebody who's the farthest away from you, go over there, flirt with them for a second, physically, like spin them around and stuff, and then turn around and basically wave to the rest of the group and introduce yourself. You can say it out loud, or you can introduce yourself in a way that's like, if it's all verbal, or, oh, sorry, all body language, you may just begin to high five people, right? And that's how you introduce yourself there. The explorer, when they see you do this, will see that as a very novel thing, you know, as something that is very different, something that they're not used to. Explorers are typically very, very attracted to confidence, of course, especially confidence in a way that I think a lot of people don't know how to accept. I think we're kind of going okay here. Whatever. Okay. Well, anyway, so once you get those, all right, so we got cut off there for a second, but my point is that once you've gotten all the traditionals attracted to you, once you've gotten the performers attracted to you, and they're off kind of doing their game where they're trying to get your attention still, right? The explorers start to get curious about you. They start to see this process. They start to notice that the performers are all trying to get your attention, that the traditionalists are all surrounding you, right? And so they want to know what it is about you. They want to know if there's something in there. They're gonna want some rapport, right? A little bit. So, if you end up with an explorer in this case, and you do want to talk to her, just recognize that she's an explorer through some of the ways that we talked about earlier, and then just finish the interaction accordingly, right? Take the necessary steps to make sure that she's constantly excited by it, stimulated by interesting things. Basically, what she's going to want to know is, are you actually an interesting person?
Yes.
Right? So if you have a place where you can be heard, like most bars aren't so loud that there's not a place in the bar you can talk to somebody, you know, it's not like that usually. So if you're going to hold court and talk to a bunch of people at once, they just want to know that you're interesting or smart or something, right? So you just tell a story that has two elements in it, mysticism and exploration, right? So as soon as you've gone through your, you know, create social proof, create competition with the performers, and then you get to a group of people. You tell stories, or you talk with a little bit of mysticism and a little bit of exploration, a little bit of talking about the things that are new and exciting, right?
Do you have an example?
Sure. One thing you may say is, I'm just going to make this up, right? Off the top of my head. Actually, I may cite something for real, but I'll make up. I'll just it's coming to me right now. So, let's say that we're talking about, just give me a subject.
Space exploration is the first thing that popped in my head for
Let's
some
do something
reason.
else, though. Let's do something that's not exploration based, right? So it's more realistic.
What kind of car do you drive?
Okay, car. Great. All right, so I may say, I don't know how it is for you guys, but when I was a kid, I remember getting my first car. And not kid, I was, you know, 16. But I got my first car, and we didn't have a whole lot of money. So I wasn't like driving a Bentley to school. I was driving this rust colored, roughly a rust and Bondo colored Jeep Wagoneer. Right? So it was this like ugly 1983 Jeep Wagoneer. And the most amazing thing about having a Jeep Wagoneer, at least for me, an old car is kind of beat up, whatever, are two things. One, you don't care about the car, right? You don't care about it. You can do whatever you want to. I drove that thing into water up to the doors. I've never done that with any other car, you know? There's no place in the place where in the town where I live that I couldn't go, right? I went to places that no one else could, you know, because I didn't care. You know, I had this freedom to do it. And because I was so comfortable with that, or at least I was able to do that, I kind of felt connected to my car. I kind of felt like there was, you know, I gave it a name. The name was James, you know, and James and I would like, you know, I knew, I could tell. You know, it was almost like whenever you have something, like if you've ever gotten an heirloom, like something handed down to you, like a ring or something, and you put that ring in your hand, and it's almost like all the thoughts or memories or positive feelings that have come, the person who wore it before you, like your grandmother, all of a sudden just enter your body, right? And it's such a purely novel experience, and I really love that. I had that with my car, you know, at the time. Though now I don't really drive a fancy car. And then you may drop everything and go, what about you? Look at the kind of girl that was rich when you were younger, right? Okay, that's it. That's it. You point to an explorer, or you point to an oracle, if you want to, especially an oracle. And you, after you just revealed yourself to them, you then say, you look like somebody who is insert normal thing here, right? And they will deny it in front of everybody, which they will never do normally, right? Because you are a super interesting guy who they really want to attract, and so they're going to match you, and they're going to drop their shield as an oracle. That's one of the only ways to get into an oracle's brain, right? is to force them to drop that shield in that moment, and you really have to like know the ninja shit in order to do that. So that's what I would do. Really simple. I would have three phases of my interactions. I would have run the room, phase one, right? Get everybody interested, get the social proof, do all that shit. Phase two, create the competition, right? Find the girls that everyone desires and make them try hard to get you, you know? Make them play a game with you. And then the third phase is hold court. And those are the three different stages. That's where you're holding court. It's when you talk to a big group of people at once. And what happens is, as you're holding court and you're really getting into this group of people that you really like a lot, probably your favorite group of girls in the whole place, guess who shows up? The performers. And guess what they're trying to do? Get your fucking attention. You know? Like crazy. Sometimes it's going to be annoying. You know? If you like another girl in the group, that can be really annoying.
Right.
But once that girl sees you choose her over the performer, she's going to need you.
Yeah.
Need you big time.
Definitely.
You know? Because no one wins over the performers. Nobody does.
Not in that scene, at least.
No. The performers win everybody. They get whoever they want. You know? At least that's a perception for most women. Right? And the traditionalists will see that as a sign that you don't want that kind of girl. The explorers will see that you're different, right? And the oracle will feel like there's something deeper about you, that you care more. You're not focused on the surface, right? Yep. All three of the other types like you. And one of the smallest groups, which is the performers, not the smallest, but, you know, smaller group, then gets pushed away. But because they're so excited about and so distracted easily anyway, they probably won't even notice. And then the next time you see them, if you do see them again, you won't have ruined your chances with that performer.
Right.
They'll still be there, you know?
Absolutely.
And you can get their number before you leave, and they will still hang out with you later. So that's the way you can attract everybody all at one time. So hope you guys appreciated this. This is very exciting for me to talk about. I'm stoked to be able to cover this. It's like
it was awesome.
It's been very, like, very cool topic to talk about, and I've had a lot of models for this. This one is our new and improved model for this. So I've had one that I've called the Avatars for a while as well.
Okay.
You know, basically based on the same thing that you're doing here, only this is way more in depth as well. And when I saw, you know, we talked about doing this in the first place, I knew that it was time for the 2.0 version of that. So Playboy in a Day is officially the new Avatars, which is fantastic. And I really hope that you got a lot out of this. If you do have any questions at all, feel free to post those in the members area. Cameron, you have a couple of programs that I will link to below this.
Okay.
I know that it really probably just be to get more information about it. And I'd encourage you guys, if you like this kind of stuff where you can type people and figure out who they are really quickly and have that kind of superpower, to check out more of what Cameron has. I've been through all his programs personally. The Hacking Attraction course that I created was after learning from him personally. He is someone that I deeply respect and that I learned a whole lot from. And there aren't a lot of people that know more than me when it comes to social interaction. So it's really cool to have this kind of back and forth, because you know type so well and I know how to manipulate people so well. Oh, man. In a good way, I think. I'd like to think, at least. So anyway, there's the power there. And when you combine, you have the opportunity, as you know, someone – who is a part of and a member of How to Date Multiple Women program, the system, you have the opportunity now to take the positive qualities of both of us and make that you and become like a superhuman version. So I'm really excited about that. Cameron, thank you so much, man, for hanging out and doing this with me.
Josh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Cool. All right, guys. Take care. If you haven't listened to everything else that's in the How to Date Multiple Women system, then I strongly encourage you to check it out, watch all the rest of the things that you have that you're available, they have available, and explore the members area and just really connect with other dudes in your area and go out and meet chicks with them and talk about what you've learned, because this is how we create this movement to really push forward. Remember that the goal from all this is to never, ever settle for any woman who's less than perfect for you. You know, so keep that in mind. And until next time, which will be very soon, keep your head up and have some fun. You know, go out and use the poet system and comment and let everybody know what you've learned and what you've seen and how this has worked, because this is super ninja shit that not a lot of people are going to get exposed to. So please keep it under your hat, and at the same time, which may sound kind of intuitive, keep it under your hat, but definitely share it with people in our community, because people in our group need to know this is possible. So take care, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.